is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. It's nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile into the end zone. Boy, touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello there. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, getaway day here at One Bills Drive, isn't it?
It is getaway day. What are you doing for?
I am hitting the road, going to do some fishing down in the Finger Lakes. What about you?
Doing some fishing. I'm going to head home, you know, and like I was just telling you, I want to take my son to school. He always wants to show me off. It's like, you know, my dad played in the NFL, so all his buddies get all excited
what
when
is
I come.
First grade, second grade?
Second grade.
Second grade?
Yeah,
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, he wants, Daddy, can you make sure that you take me to school?
Do you have to wear the jersey?
Nah, I don't wear the jersey. But they get excited, though. Everybody's, like, staring at me, like, wide eyes. And
excellent.
It's cool. It's cool. So go home and spend some time with the fam.
Excellent. We've got a couple of days off if you haven't figured that out yet. We're no show tomorrow. No show Friday because of the bye week. The Bills, the players have just wrapped up. I happen to be on my way in here walking through the practice field in the AdPro Sports Training Center when the whistle blew after the final team meeting at the end of today's practice. And you should have heard the cheer, Donald. I mean, it was pretty
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The thing is, I was out there actually watching practice a little bit, and it was an up-tempo practice.
Oh, yeah.
It was an up-tempo practice. They were not playing around. They were going to get their work in today, and then they head out of town and you know, for their bye week.
Yeah, we talked with Sean McDermott about this yesterday, and it seems early, right, for the bye week. I mean, it's 5 games in, 11 games to go. But from a player perspective or a coach's perspective, and us to a lesser extent, you know, this thing really got going in earnest back in, July 26th, 27th, at training camp,
yeah.
which happens to be 11 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, there are 11 games left in the regular season. We all hope there's something to follow after that. But this bye week coming where it is with 11 weeks down as far as training camp and 11 weeks ago as far as the rest of the regular season hits them, I think, in a pretty good spot.
I think it does. And we actually got a tweet last night. I think you got this tweet as well. And the question was, at what point there's this whole rookie wall thing. At what point mm-hmm. do the rookies hit that rookie wall? And for me, I mean – I don't know. I always felt like I was tired, you know, just because you never really get time off as when you're coming into the league because you go straight from your bowl games or whatever to NFL training, combine training, and straight into camp, you know. And so I think, you know, if there is a point where you hit a wall 5 games into this thing, it could be that point because when you're a rookie, you played all 4 preseason games. You know, it's not like the vets that get to chill. I think the only one that got that luxury was Tre'Davious a little bit, you know, but the rest of the guys, the rest of the rookies were playing. And so you're already, what, 5 plus 4, 9 games into this thing. You're like, look, I just need a couple of days away from
yeah.
football. I don't want to see, smell a locker room. I don't want to see a football. I don't want to see any of y'all that are on my team until Monday, you know. So I think they are at that point where they would hit a wall.
I think they are there, and they are – clearly right now getting set, many guys taking off. We want to talk with you about kind of resetting where the Bills are at the bye week and thinking about, you know, what's happened so far and what's to come. And the Twitter poll today, and we want to get you involved in this as well and get you involved on the phones, is the worst over as far as the schedule is concerned. It's been talked about for months. What a brutal schedule. The Bills play a brutal schedule. And it has been tough. And it's the worst over, if you think about it, in terms of the opponents. We can back, if you'd like some you know, some evidence to support your case. Think about this. 5 opponents so far for the Bills, right? 5 opponents, 3 of them winning teams, Carolina, Denver, and Atlanta, all of them with winning records right now. The winning percentage of the Bills' first 5 opponents right now today is 652, 65% winning percentage for the Bills' 5 opponents so far. So we know they've gone 3-2 against them. 11 games remaining, including a couple of games against the Patriots, a couple against the Dolphins. The winning percentage for the remaining 11 opponents on the Bills' schedule, 529. 27 wins and 24 losses, the remaining schedule. Included in that, a couple of matchups with the Patriots, as we said. Matchup with the 5-0 Chiefs, that'll be a tough one, you would think. Look, we're all about, you know, not projecting too far ahead, but now's the time with the bye here to kind of take a look at where they've been and where they're headed. The winning percentage of the Bills' remaining opponents, 529. The winning percentage of the games they played so far, the teams they played so far, 652, which would suggest that as far as the schedule is concerned, the worst could be over. What do you think about that? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550 or on Twitter at John Murphy Show. It's our Twitter poll. Is the toughest part of the Buffalo Bills schedule behind them? We just got the Twitter poll up a little bit ago and early on here, and I think this is where I would vote too. 38% of you say, who knows? Who knows what lies ahead? Look how evenly distributed it is. So 34% say, nope, the toughest part is not behind them. 28% say, yes, the toughest part of the schedule is behind them. Think about this, too. They've played, what, three road games and two at-home games so far. So that means they've got six home games left, right,
mm-hmm.
and five road games left. So in that sense, that could be a little bit easier. But I would say who knows, but I think it's worth acknowledging that they have played some pretty quality opponents, three winning teams in their first five games, actually beaten two of them. And want to hear from you. What do you think is the toughest part of the schedule behind them? 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What do you think, Donald?
I'm going to vote no. The toughest schedule is not behind them. I think looking at the rest of the schedule, starting with, and people won't see this game as being a tough game, but I think that starting with the Chargers game out in Los Angeles is going to be a tough game. I don't think that's a bad team. I think they've lost a lot of games by like 3 points or less. They have a lot of talent out there in San Diego. So I think that's a tough game on the road. And then you look at Kansas City the next week on the road. Then you have New England here, divisional game, always a tough game. You have the Colts game here, a game that you would say you should win, but who knows. Then you have Miami, you have New England again, then Miami. I think the last like six games of the schedule is going to be tough, you know, because you have four divisional games within those six games, and you still have the Chargers, you have Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I think that part of the schedule is a very tough part of the schedule.
What do you think? The lines are open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We'll take your call. Just wondering what you think is the toughest part of the schedule behind them. And if you look at the one-loss records, it is. You know, a winning percentage of .652 for the opponents they played so far. Winning percentage of .529 for the opponents still to come. How about if you look, we got into this with Sean McDermott a little bit yesterday, Donald, and the offensive struggles for the Bills. We know that's been their problem through the first five games this year. Inability, really, to move the ball on a consistent basis. So what about looking at the schedule from that perspective, who they have played so far and who still lies ahead? Think about this. The last four opponents, so the Jets was the opener, four opponents since them, at the Panthers, Broncos, at Atlanta, at Cincinnati. The last four opponents, those four teams, Panthers, third-ranked defense in the National Football League, Carolina Panthers, and the Bills lost that game 9-3. Denver Broncos, the Bills beat them here, number one defense in the NFL right now. Atlanta Falcons on the road, the number 10 defense in the NFL, and the Bills won that game. Cincinnati Bengals this past Sunday, the number two defense in the National Football League, and the Bills lost that one. So three of the top four defenses in the National Football League they have faced the last 4 weeks. They've played four top 10 defenses the last 4 weeks, won two, lost two. And now what lies ahead for the Bills? The next four opponents, let's just look at it at that. We're talking about their defensive rankings, yards per game that they allow. Tampa Bay Buccaneers next game up, 30th ranked defense in the National Football League. Oakland Raiders coming here the following week, October 29th, the 23rd ranked defense in the National Football League. They go to the Jets Thursday night game. They're the 25th ranked defense in the National Football League. The New Orleans Saints coming here November 12th, the 29th ranked defense in the National Football League. The defensive rankings, the Bills are going up against four defenses in the bottom 10 mm-hmm. in the league rankings over the next 4 weeks. So the last 4 weeks, they played four defenses in the top 10. The next four, they play four defenses in the bottom 10. Now, look, I know they have problems to solve on offense, the Bills do. They've got to find a way to run the ball. They've got to find weapons for Tyrod Taylor. They've got to get Tyrod Taylor playing better. But if you look at who they played and who they're going to play in the next month or so, it would seem to suggest that we should, quite frankly, see some offensive improvement over the next month. I think that's how to read it.
Yeah, I think it would suggest that you should see some offensive improvement, and I think that these next four games are games that you need to win. When you talk, we had Lorenzo on, and he talked about getting on a roll, you know, and stacking wins, you know, back-to-back-to-back-to-back wins like that. Those are the teams that usually end up in the playoffs, the teams that can stack those wins together. Well, your next two games are at home. Very important to win at home. Coach McDermott talked yesterday about defending your turf. It's very important to win those games at home. But when you talk about these defenses not being strong defenses, and you have a defense of your own that is a very strong defense, these are games that you should win. All right, these next four games, you need to get on a roll as then you get into the back half of the season where you have a lot of AFC opponents to face. You need to make sure that your offense can get rolling against these defenses that are not that strong, and you can string some points together, because in the back half, you're going to play some teams that can score points, you know, and you need to get some things rolling on offense.
Yeah, well, let us know what you think. Lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We've talked about the defensive rankings, last four opponents, very strong defenses, four top tens. Next four opponents, four bottom 10 defenses in terms of ranking. And, yes, I get it. You know, the Bills' numbers against the last four opponents are baked in there, too. I mean, they shut down the Bills. Bills didn't do much against really any of them in those last four games, so I get that. But that's, you know, the only way to do it right now. Mm-hmm. What do you think, though, moving forward? Is the toughest part of the schedule behind them, or is it going to get tougher? 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. We're on Twitter. A couple of tweets on this. Matt Winters says, if they change quarterbacks, yes. But for some reason, you believe Tyrod is their, quote, best option. I do. I believe he's their best option. And give us a call. I'll tell you exactly why I believe it. I'm not going to – I don't want to retrace my steps from the last day. Aaron Quinn tweets in, New England twice and Kansas City are going to be the most difficult games of the year. I would agree with that. Although, going into the season, one would have looked at Atlanta on the road as a very difficult game. Bills came out of that with a win. Mm-hmm. One would have looked at Denver as a pretty tough game. The Bills came out of that with a win. Senior DJ tweets in, division games always seem to be a toss-up. Never know when it comes to the Dolphins, Pats, Jets. I guess so. You right. Got to win division games, and those still, you know, what, seven division games remaining in the final 11, so that that part of the meat of the schedule is still out there. Lead the Stampede tweets in, they still have Kansas City and the darn Patriots two times ahead of them. Who knows about New Orleans, Oakland, and Tampa right now? At least those are home games. Yeah. Again, who knows is going to be a popular option, and I get that, because who really does know? And we've been preaching for months here about, you know, you can't really project what you think the schedule looks like. Might look a little bit different when the game arrives, but this is the time to do it at the bye with all those, that stretch of 11 games coming up.
I think, it's hard to project, you know, what you're going to see, but I think when you look at certain teams, like, first of all, the divisional games, they're always going to be tough games, all right, just because they are divisional games. The Patriots play well. You know, their defense is not that strong, but they can score points. So, you have that side of it. They can score a lot of points. Miami, I don't really know what to expect out of Miami. Kansas City, I think we know what to expect out of Kansas City. I think they are a very strong team. Now, injuries can pop up and anything can happen. But I just think when you look at those games, from me, the Chargers down – to the last game of the season, it's a tough part of the schedule. Who knows even with the Colts game? You know, the Colts can come in and play a very tough game. I mean,
you think? You, come on.
Hey, you never know. They'll have their guy, Andrew Luck, back, and you just never know. So it's hard to project what you're going to see from these teams once we get later into the season. It's hard to project also what you're going to get from the Bills when you talk about injuries and things, you know, because – now you're truly in that part of the season where everybody is hurt and everybody's trying to, you know, piece things together. Will the Bills be healthy again? That's the biggest thing when teams that are going into the playoffs, right? It's yeah, you have to be a strong team, but when we talk about luck is involved in this thing, you also get healthy at a certain part of the year and you get hot at a certain part of the year, you know? And who knows, maybe the Bills will get hot, get healthy and get hot at the later part of the year, and they might not be tough games. That's why it's so hard to project this thing. I just think that those last, you know, six games are tough games.
Chris Manns tweets in, four of the five games so far have been against winning teams, Jets, Carolina, Denver, and Atlanta. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they lost to one of the teams with a losing record, Cincinnati. So that's why I think you could argue that the toughest part of the schedule is behind them. How would I answer on the Twitter poll? I'd say, who knows? I don't know. But you could argue that they played some very good opponents. Here's an interesting one, tweet. Lincoln Nation says, the offense has faced tough defense, but what do you think you'll face in the playoffs? Tough defenses. Of course you will. You know who's got a tough defense? The Buffalo Bills have a tough defense. Mm-hmm. And if they should somehow squeak themselves into the playoffs and continue, you know, really on the pace they're on right now, they'll be a tough defense to beat in the playoffs. That's – yeah, you don't face perfect teams in the playoffs, by the way.
No, you don't.
You don't face perfect teams. Teams are incomplete. Teams are imperfect. Teams have flaws. The Bills are deeply flawed on offense right now. with time to get it better.
What was the greatest comeback against the Titans? Wasn't that a playoff game? Am I mistaken? Was that a playoff game?
Yeah.
Right. So that was a playoff game. And we've talked to Thurm about it. We talked to Steve about it, about the Titans didn't have a strong defense, did
Oilers.
They? The Oilers. Yeah. What didn't they have? They were lopsided.
Yeah, run and shoot, and they just were up and down the field scoring points and didn't play great defense.
Right. They didn't have a strong defense, right? And so that was their issue. You know, you don't play perfect teams going into when you're in the playoffs. You know, every team has its flaws. Every single team has its flaws. It's really the teams that can mask those flaws by doing other things, most of the time having a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But every team has their flaws once they get into the playoffs.
Let us know what you think. The lines are open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Mike from North Tonawanda, get us started. Mike, what do you think?
Okay, guys. I think I should have called 10 minutes ago because I agree with Donald. You just don't know what you're going to get. You know, last year's rankings don't mean anything. Teams can turn around.
These are this year's rankings we're talking about.
Oh, but I'm just saying in general. That's cool. I'm glad you broke it down. It's interesting to see it. Hey, guys, a couple things I wondered about, though.
Okay.
Why would Dennison, I think that's the offensive coordinator's name, why would he come in here and change the blocking scheme when he had the best rushing attack in the NFL for two consecutive years? I know he has had success in the past at other places with his zone blocking or whatever the scheme is called. But, you know, don't good coaches adapt to the personnel on hand? Okay, second, I think that Coach McDermott's doing a great job. And I think my observation is he's done a good job because he coaches a little bit like Belichick. He teaches situational football. Rarely do the Bills look like they're scrambling around with chickens with their heads cut off. They look like they're playing intelligently. I know he toned the scheme down a little bit to make it less confusing, but the Bills look a lot sharper to me, and, boy, he's got them motivated. I think Coach McDermott's going to be a great coach. And last, Marcel Darius. I remember when he called the Bills a Bush League team.
When did he do that?
Your pardon?
When did he do that?
Oh, this was back, I don't know, when he was negotiating this contract.
No, I got to say, I do not recall that, Mike. I would not going to let that go unchallenged. I do not recall that.
Murph, I'll guarantee it, okay?
All right, well, send me an email and show me exactly where he said the Bills are a Bush League team.
I'm not a computer guy. I don't have a computer.
Okay.
But, no, he did. It made me so mad I called my friends about it. But look, I want to wrap up so you can get going. So far this year, what's he make, $1 million a game? It's like about – so he's made $5 million for three or four plays. There was a guy I was so happy to have drafted him. I used to worry that he would get hurt. I don't think he's going to be here next year. I think there's a lot better talent than that. I think it's time to move on. I hope he's gone next year. But, guys, love the show. I can't believe how he seems to have gone downhill.
3-2. They've gone straight to hell. You're right. What's he talking about? Marcel never said the Bills are a Bush League team. I'm sorry you're not a computer guy. Send me a clip. Send me a cutout, a little newspaper clip. Just didn't happen. 2. You know why Rick Dennison changed the offense? Because that's what coaches do. They bring in their offense. Trying to preserve what they do well, they've incorporated some power run blocking schemes over the last couple of weeks. It's clearly a work in progress. It hasn't worked well at all on offense yet. But that's what coaches do. They're not going to come in and say, let's continue to do exactly what the previous group did. And there's this element of balance, too. And Sean McDermott sat right here and talked about it yesterday when I asked him, what are you going to do to fix the running game? And he's looking at it like the whole offense. We want to move the football. I'm not looking at it like we got to fix the running game. We want to move the football in whatever way possible. They needed for a couple of years to be more balanced.
Right.
They needed to be more balanced on offense.
They do need to be more balanced. I mean, I can't really say anything better than what you just said. So I'm
just
leave it at what you just said. that was funny.
You just can't come in here and spit up falsities. You just can't. And you know what? So what? You know, you can do it if you want. But I'm not going to sit here and agree and nod, you're right, Marcel. He didn't say that. He absolutely did not say that.
That wouldn't make sense on Marcel's part to
does
do that, that.
You know Marcel. Does that sound like something he would do?
No, he wouldn't do that. And it doesn't make sense from a business standpoint to do something like that. You know, if you're trying to negotiate one of the biggest contracts ever, why would you then say, well, this is a Bush League team or Farm League team or whatever he said there? Then the team will come back and say, you know what, we don't want you. Like, go ahead and you know, we'll let you just play the rest of this contract out, and you can go ahead and move on. That doesn't make sense. I don't know if he said it or not. I'm going to take your word on it. I doubt that he said it.
Look, you can be disappointed with Marcel Darius. I am. I don't think he's performed up to the level that he's capable of this year. We all know his transgressions off the field have been well chronicled. I hope he pulls it together. His contract makes it very difficult to do anything about him other than playing in Buffalo right now. Mike apparently unaware of that. So we'll see how it plays out. I think the Bills are sort of just biding their time with Marcel Darius, seeing how it plays out. I don't know if he's going to be here next year.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be here next year, but he's also played more than four plays, Mike. He's not playing all of the snaps, obviously, but he's getting at least, you know, 20 plays a game when he's healthy and he's actually on the active roster.
Let's take a break. We've got more to come. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, muddling through the final day before we get out for a couple of days. You're welcome to join us and talk about this Bills team. Is the toughest part of the schedule behind them? The numbers indicate win-loss percentage. Yes, it is. 652 one-loss percentage for their first five opponents, 529 one-loss percentage for their next 11 opponents. Maybe you don't see it that way. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
Muddling our way through?
Yes.
Our last day? You know, that's what makes your bye week and your vacation going down to fish and everything a lot more fun.
What's that, Donald?
The fact that we're actually muddling through this thing.
The fact that my laptop doesn't work?
Yeah, you know,
it can't be
easy. Whoever said it was going to be easy,
then
everybody
would
be doing
all
it.
All I'm looking for is functional. coming up on the show today, Chris Brown's going to join us at the top of the next hour, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com. Chris will let us know about his view of the team at the bye week. 2 o'clock, Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Famer, will join us in studio. Coming up at 1:30, I skipped over this, Coffee with the Coach, Chris with head coach Sean McDermott. We'll have our NFL True and False, and we're going to talk about the crucial catch, next week's program all over the National Football League in the fight against cancer. ECMC CEO Tom Quattrocci will join us in studio at 2:30. All right, in the meantime, let's take some phone calls. Jack in Rochester. Hello, Jack. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John. How are you and Donald doing today?
We're doing great.
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You know, in a funny way, I thought last Sunday's game was a step forward for Tyrod Taylor because that was the first game I ever saw where he forced himself to stay behind the line of scrimmage and not run and scan the field and look downfield and try to go through his progressions. And I think, you know, the fact that he didn't complete a lot of passes, I think that the issue for the quarterback coach is to sit down with him and figure out, okay, is it something because you saw it and made a decision not to throw or you didn't see it? Because the former is something that's kind of correctable and the latter could be trouble.
Well, I think that's a stretch, Jack. I do. I think that Bengals contained him in the pocket, which is not his sweet spot. I think they need Tyrod running the ball. He only had one rush for 3 yards last week. I think his running the ball is an important component of their offense, and you don't want to build on it and make that the centerpiece, but I think that's an important part of their offense. I think it's a big stretch to say he took a step forward last week.
Donald? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say he took a step forward. I think, look, we all want for Tyrod to be better in the passing game. We all want for him to be able to throw from the pocket and make plays from the pocket. But I honestly think, and going back to Chris Brown, who we had on the show on Monday, that was Monday, right? You know, that's not who he is. You know, we know who Tyrod Taylor is, all right? And we can't try to make him into something that he's not. He can't try to make himself into something that he's not. And I don't think this coaching staff wants to make him into something that he's not. That's why they have the play-action game and rollouts and different things like that. You know, he's not – you know, a pure pocket passer. Can he make some plays from the pocket? Yeah, he can make some throws. But his game is getting on the run, making plays on the run, and throwing the ball down the field on the run. So last week, you know, the fact that he was standing in the pocket a little bit more and he took six sacks, you know, I don't know what that, you know, what to attribute that to, but I think that he needs to play his game. You know, play your game. Now, defenses are good. They do a good job of, they set up game plans to make sure you can't get out the pocket, all right? And so that team, athletically, they had the talent to get it done. They had the personnel to get that done. You're going to have games like that. But Tyrod Taylor has to play his game, and these coaches have to let him play his game.
And I think there was evidence in a couple of the first five games, most notably Atlanta and Denver, there was evidence that they were finding middle ground, sort of, the coaching right. staff and Tyrod Taylor. Like, this is what our offense should look like. You know, let's move Tyrod a little bit. Let's get him outside the pocket and have a better look downfield. And that kind of fell apart against Cincinnati. Cincinnati is very good. We've talked for a couple of days about Cincinnati's defensive ends and the strategy that was employed. So, yeah, I mean, there was evidence they took a step back, I think, Jack, this past week, not a step forward. Thanks very much. Here's Fred in Rochester. Fred, welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the rest of the season goes, hey, everybody just shrug your shoulders because I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen. So that's where I am on that deal. Most of it, you know, relies on injuries and things like that. As far as the team goes, I'm in the minority a lot of times here, but I think back of some of the other teams, and this team is a very young team yet, got a very young coach, and sometimes teams have to learn to win. They have to learn how to win. They don't know how to finish and close. I think that's one thing they might have to work on, because if you notice, all these old foxes like Andy Reid and Mike McCarthy and those guys, they know all the tricks, and usually their teams are right up there, you know. But just another thing. I have to know who number 15 is, because I can't get that straight. Who's number 15 on the Bills?
Brandon Tate,
yeah. Well, that kid, I'm telling you what, in that game against Cincinnati, he was all over the field. And if they can get him in that receiving core and they can work with Zay Jones and get him working, it's time for Zay Jones to step up, man. It's time for him to step up. It always comes, and this is his time. And those two guys right there, get them on the jugs gun and get them working with Tyrod, because they're the guys now. I don't know how's Matthews and Clay. Are they're not able to play at all, or what?
Well, they have some weeks. You know, we don't really know when to expect them back. They have some weeks before they'll be back. So yeah, it is Zay Jones and Brandon Tate and Andre Holmes and Kalen Clay and those guys. It is their time. Nick O'Leary, you know, it is their time to step up. And hopefully these guys can step up and make plays. Brandon Tate made some big plays last week. I would expect in the upcoming weeks that he will be a big part of what they're doing, you know, on offense and in special teams. And so, yeah, it is their time to step up. We need Zay Jones to step up and make plays. Tyrod Taylor does need for these guys to make plays. And Tyrod, you know, he needs for them to make plays, but he also has to give them the opportunity to make plays, you know. So that's why it's a team game.
You know, I was thinking this morning about, you know, where the weaponry is, who's going to make the big plays for the Buffalo offense. And I do think we tend to overlook Brandon Tate. He did score the lone touchdown against Cincinnati the other day. And great special teams work. I would hate to lose him in his dynamic special teams work in the return game, punt returns in particular. Maybe give him a break on kick returns because there's so few of those. But he could be a guy, Donald, with some playing experience, and he could be maybe a partial answer to their lack of weapons on offense. Clearly, Zay Jones is an answer as well, and he has not been able to do it yet.
Right.
You kind of hope that this bye week gives Zay Jones a chance to clear his head, kind of reset, hit the reset button, and come in here ready to go. We know he can catch the football. We know he can play. I mean, he's a very productive college receiver. But his team needs him badly now, and I think he knows that more than any one of us.
Oh, yeah, his team needs him very bad. Zay Jones, the team does need him to come in here and make plays. He understands that. He understands the situation that he's in. He understands that right now he is the number one receiver, and he understands it's an opportunity, you know. And the biggest thing is, yeah, this is a big opportunity for me, but don't play outside yourself. Don't try to play outside yourself. Just play football. Just go out there and have fun. They throw you the ball, catch the ball. Like, you've been doing that for a very long time. Go back to college days. You know, go back to Pop Warner high school days. Like, just have fun on the football field. In terms of Brandon Tate, don't be shocked if you see Brandon Tate get a lot of targets in the next game. Don't be shocked if you see that. Like, I think Tyrod, he threw the ball to him in this past game. He made a play for him. He scored a touchdown. And we know from history of Tyrod Taylor and quarterbacks in general, but especially Tyrod Taylor, he throws the ball to the guys that he trusts. All right. And so Brandon Tate, because he made a play for him, all right, I understand he can make these plays for me. So I'm going to continue to go to him, you know. And so don't be shocked if Brandon Tate is not just in the lineup, but seeing a lot of targets in this game.
The door is wide open for those receivers.
For any receiver, yeah.
For Kalen Clay, you know, he's played four games, has one catch.
Yeah.
He could help. You know, he has something to offer, you would think, but it's got to step up as soon as they start playing again. The door is wide open for Andre Holmes with all of his veteran experience.
Yeah.
It's right there waiting for you, you know. The door is wide open for Zay Jones, as we talked about, and Brandon Tate, who answered the bell with his touchdown catch. But somebody's got to step up.
Somebody has to step up.
If you're waiting for, you know, Don Hutson or Jerry Rice to walk through the door, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Right.
Trades are one thing. Who are you going to trade for? The next Kalen Clay? I mean, those are the kind of guys who come free in in-season trades. Clay happened just at roster cutdown day. And you don't want to give up major assets to get a receiver. Mm-hmm. The door is wide open for any one of those four. Brandon Tate, Kalen Clay, Andre Holmes, or Zay Jones.
Zay Jones.
Wide open.
It's you know, the crazy thing is the door is wide open for these guys, but it's also it's wide open for Tyrod Taylor to now pull the trigger and give these guys an opportunity.
No question.
You know, and so it's collectively. Look, Tyrod, you don't have your number one guys out there, the guys that you truly, truly trust. They're not out there. So now you're out there with who you're out there with. Give them all an opportunity and see who makes plays for you, you know. And if they don't make the plays, then we move on from there. At least you gave these guys an opportunity. That's what I'm hoping to see from Tyrod in this upcoming game. Give all of these guys an opportunity because these guys are eager to make plays for you, you know. And some of them might not. I hope they all can make plays and truly show Tyrod that, look, we all can make plays for you. You know, it's not just Charles Clay. It's not just Jordan Matthews. We can all make plays. We can all score touchdowns. We all want to celebrate and have fun and score touchdowns and dance and all of that stuff. That's what receivers like to do. You know, we like to dance. Ultimately, that's what it's about, Murph. It's about dancing in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
None of the rest of the stuff matters. It's about dancing in the end zone.
I know you don't believe this. I know you don't believe this. You're trying to get a reaction out of me. You're baiting me. I know you don't believe this.
I'm trolling you.
You wouldn't have lasted a week in the NFL if you really thought.
I know,
that.
Right?
You wouldn't have. Hey, we're talking a little bit about the schedule, the Bills schedule at the bye, and five games in, 11 games to go. The one-loss percentage of their future opponents is significantly lower than the one-loss percentage of the first five they played. So does that mean the toughest part of the schedule is behind them? 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Tony calling from New York City. Hello, Tony. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I was taking a look at the schedule, and I think it sets up beautifully for us to potentially go 3-1 each quarter of this season. I think we already got our loss in quarter two. These next few games are very winnable. Two or three, I think, are at home. I have a feeling that we'll go maybe 6 or 7 wins at home this year, maybe lose one to New England, depending on how Tom Brady's doing towards the end of the season. To go 3-2 against, number 1, 2, and 3 of the top five overall defenses this year, to go 3-2 against those guys, that's impressive. But the last thing I wanted to say was, now that we're going to start going against some of these weaker defenses, anything can happen any week. But I think Tyrod's going to start getting into a rhythm, and our wide receivers are going to start getting confidence, which will lead to Tyrod trusting them more. And I'd really like to see Riley or Streeter come back or get pulled up from the practice squad or signed from the practice squad and see what we can do with our own guys. I don't think we need to go anywhere else for Streeter or anything.
Okay.
Yeah, Streeter, we haven't heard anything about Streeter. You know, I just
don't know
what's
healed, you know?
Yeah, we don't know if he's healed from that toe. And from what we understand, the toe was a serious thing. And plus, you and Chris were talking about, you know, how, like, when could he even be signed back? Because he took the settlement. So there is, like, stipulations on when he could actually come back here, a certain amount of weeks or something like
mm-hmm.
that. So I don't know how that works. In terms of Brandon Riley, Brandon Riley could come up and maybe he could make plays. But I think, there is a reason. This is because we all sit and we talk about, man, this guy can make plays.
Yeah.
This guy can make plays. How come they don't put Nathan Peterman in the game? How come they don't get this guy on the field? Well, there's a reason. The coaches are with these guys every day in the meeting rooms. They're with these guys every day on the practice field. They're not just saying, oh, this dude is good, but we're going to put him on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a reason why these guys are not on the active roster right now.
You know, Riley had some pretty good moments in preseason.
Right.
You know who has close eyes on Riley every day? The coaching staff. Phil McCain, right. The wide receivers coach, Rick Dennison. They got him. I just watched him here today. He's out here every day at practice. If they thought he could help, he'd be on the active roster.
He'd be on the active roster.
They went out a week ago and signed Philly Brown instead of promoting Brandon Riley. What does that say? Do they hate Brandon Riley? No. Is there an anti-Brandon Riley faction? No. It means they see him every day. They know how he's progressing. You got to have a little certain amount of faith in the people who make these decisions, I think, right? You got to have some faith that they who see him every day know that how he might be able to help.
Right.
Or whether he can help.
You got to trust the process. Don't rush the process.
Let's go to Anthony and Olean. Hello, Anthony. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you. Just want to say, Donald, I was the one that tweeted and said we needed you back in the receiving core.
Thanks for the support, man.
my thing is, I think we're going to be fine schedule-wise. I see the glaring just problems with Tyrod at quarterback. I don't think making a switch to Nathan Peterman is a good idea. I think letting someone like that sit for a year, maybe 2 years, is a good thing. But I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bills Fanatics, but they put a lot of video on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, different outlets. Mm-hmm. And after watching that and seeing the receivers having 4 or 5 steps on multiple series and multiple plays, and Tyrod just not pulling the trigger, whether it's he doesn't see them or he just doesn't have the trust right now, which would be understandable. I mean, I just don't understand it. I don't understand how he's not seeing them or not hitting them in stride. Biggest one, the Logan Thomas, play. Just, I guess it's really frustrating as a fan. Just want to get your guys' thoughts on that, and hope you guys have a good day.
Yeah, thanks. Anthony, it is, it is frustrating. You know, we get to see the All-22 as well. We can see when guys are open and he's not pulling the trigger. It's frustrating for everybody watching. It's frustrating for the guys on the field. It's frustrating for the receivers who are actually open, because I've been in that position. And I wanted to score, and I wanted to celebrate. No, I'm just playing with you. You do know when – I mean, receivers think they're open all the time. But when you do come open, wide open, you're like, hey, man, what is the deal? And then you go back and you watch it on film, and it's like, what happened there?
Did you ever say that to Fitz?
Oh, yeah, we talk. Now, you gotta massage it a little bit. Yeah. You can't just, hey, Fitz, man, what are you doing? Hey, Fitz, let me know what you're looking at here. Do you need me to do something different or something like that? That's kind of how you're supposed to approach that thing, because you won't ever get another pass,
right.
And so I don't know what it is with Tyrod on the field. I don't know if it's he's not seeing these guys or if he doesn't trust him to throw the ball, but something has to change because you need your passing game to get better. We need the running game to go, but you need your passing game to get better as well.
All right, we're going to break. We've got time for a few more phone calls. Chris Brown's going to join us at 1, Thurman Thomas at 2, Coffee with the Coach coming up, a lot more to come on the show, including your view of the schedule, where the Bills are at, 5 games in, 11 games to go, is the toughest part of the schedule behind them. The calls, the lines are open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
It is our last show for this week. We're back here on Monday after today. We're here till 3 today, but Donald and I both heading in separate directions for a couple of days with a bye week. Players are scattered, I'm sure, right?
What? Scattering?
Gone.
They're like praying right now that their flights are not delayed with the weather.
What did you used to do in bye weeks?
Go back to Jersey.
Yeah, go home. No big vacations. No rent a boat in Miami.
Nah.
With the receiving crew. And
no, with Justin Bieber.
No, that wasn't down
with Justin. No, that wasn't our thing. I would just go back home. I'm more of a homebody, and I like to spend time with my family and, my dad, my mom, my grandparents, and my grandfather who's been diabetic for a long time and deals with his thing. So I like to go home and spend time because you don't know how much time you have.
Yeah.
So I'd rather do that than to go on some boat with Justin Bieber.
Did you ever get the invitation to go on a boat with Justin Bieber?
Not Bieber. I got some other invitations, not the Biebs.
Hey, so we're at the bye week. The Bills have played five, won three of them, 11 games left. And is it possible that the toughest part of the schedule is behind them? If you look at the winning percentages, you can make that argument. The teams they played so far, 652 winning percentage. The teams they have yet to play, 529 winning percentage. What do you think? That's our Twitter poll. Is the Buffalo Bills, the toughest part of the Buffalo Bills schedule, behind them right now? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter. That's our Twitter poll today. A couple of questions on Twitter. Is there an actual timetable for Charles Clay's knee injury? No. Multiple weeks was the word Monday from Sean McDermott, and he did not amplify that when he was with us yesterday, Tom.
He did not amplify that. We don't know the timetable for Charles Clay, all right? And he was the number one wide receiver on this team. You know, even though he plays the tight end position, he was the number one wide receiver on the team. So now Tyrod doesn't have that guy who was his security blanket. Well, now it's time to grow more as a quarterback for Tyrod Taylor and throw it to the guys that you do have on the field, you know. And it's time for also for us to see Nick O'Leary with no gloves on making plays out there. And I'm looking forward to see him catching a lot of passes with no gloves.
What do you think the ceiling is for Nick O'Leary? Has he approached it yet?
I don't know. I don't know either. Because he's never played this role,
right?
You know, to be like the number one tight end,
right?
And so we'll see what the ceiling is. Hopefully, we see him make some plays out there, and it's like, man, we got another quality tight end, a guy that can make plays. We've always looked at Nick O'Leary as a guy who, he runs his little stop routes and five and outs and things like that. He's not a speed type of guy that can get down the seam. Maybe he is that guy. Maybe he just hasn't been asked to do that type of stuff yet, you know. So we'll see here in the next couple weeks.
Very productive college career.
Oh, yeah.
Now in his third year, so he's no longer a rookie or even anything close to a rookie. And you wonder what the Charles Clay injury means for Logan Thomas,
yeah,
who's had some spot duty at tight end through the first five games. And, again, another guy, I mean, with all the multiple tight end sets they use, they've used three on the field in certain situations this year.
Right.
You wonder, how that's going to hamper their offense just in terms of numbers at tight end.
You know, I wonder that as well. And I also wonder, do you now put Patrick DeMarco in a different position? Do you put him as an H-back type of position, you know, and line him up at the wing type of thing and put him out and let you know he can catch the ball as well? You know, he's done it in the past. So does he see more time in routes catching passes? That could be something that they do with that. The interesting thing is Nick O'Leary and Logan Thomas, one of their knocks has always been that they are not true blocking type of tight ends. You would think Nick O'Leary was a blocking tight end because he's not, he doesn't appear to be the most athletic tight end, right? So you would think he's a blocking tight end, but that's been his knock, and that's been Logan Thomas's knock. It's something that he needs to improve on as he's made that transition from playing quarterback to tight end now. And so now you're talking about, well, we got to get the running game going. You don't even have true blocking tight ends in there. It's time for them to step up in that aspect of their game as well.
I wonder how plausible it is that Rick Dennison, with this extra time, goes almost totally back to the drawing board, knowing that he won't have Charles Clay for multiple weeks, knowing that Jordan Matthews is out for an undetermined amount of time yet, and comes up with, I'm not going to say he throws everything out, but a substantially different offensive scheme.
Yeah.
This would be the time to do it, based on the people they have available. Based on a five-game assessment of where they've been offensively, not very good, clearly. Based on a five-game assessment of how their quarterback's playing, if he is going to redo what they do on offense, this would be the time. I don't know what he has planned for this weekend.
The interesting thing, yeah, right?
He may want to sit there with a pencil and a legal pad and say, okay, here's what we got.
The interesting thing is coaches always preach, we can't change our full, like, we can't change the entire playbook in the middle of the season, even if it's a bye week. You can't do that, right? And so I'm always interested to see how they juggle making changes within the offense and scheme and stuff like that with we have to stick to our basic principles. You know, how do you juggle that? It's interesting because I'm sure this is the time, but I'm sure he probably sits up at night and he's like, you know what? I want to do this, this, and this. Like, I want to just scrap everything and do all of this stuff. But I can't just do all that stuff, you know? And so it's probably a tough balancing act that he has to perform.
And you look at the way they've sort of slowly incorporated some of the more power blocking schemes into their wide zone blocking scheme. Who knows? Michael in Cheektowaga has some thoughts on this. Michael, go ahead. You're on the air.
First of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
For your program very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule is concerned. I believe that we've played three of the toughest defenses in the NFL. But this is the NFL, so who knows what's going to happen down the road. The way I look at the schedule, I only see a couple teams, if you check the statistics, that have very good defenses against the rush. My question is, why in preseason, I know we got new coaches, why did we had something that worked. Why are we doing zone blocking when our offensive line has not been able to stay together with injuries, et cetera? Plus, we have a couple high-priced rookies that have to learn this system. Well, I don't know about that. And that's, I guess, my question. Preseason, zone blocking, it doesn't seem to be working. They said they have to figure it out. I've heard that. You've heard it. We've all heard it. What do they have to figure out? Okay, zone blocking. But why did they change the number one team in offensive rushing the last 2 years? Why did they change this? They had the same offensive linemen.
Donna, why did they change it? I answered this question earlier. What's your take? Why did they change it?
Here's my take. Coaches have their philosophies on things that they've actually done for a long time. Now, Rick Dennison has been a coordinator now for some years, and he's always run the same scheme, you know, or he's been around coaches that have run the same scheme, you know, and so they have their philosophies. We've seen this with coaches that come through here, you know, this year with the offensive scheme. We saw it with Rex. This is what they do. This is what they know, you know, and so, yeah, coaches should be able to adapt, but, you know, coaches have done one thing for a long time, and it's hard to get them to go away. Now, when you think about it, on the surface, you look at LeSean McCoy and his running style. Coming into this thing, you would think, okay, I have an athletic offensive line that can move so that we can run this scheme. I have a running back that can actually see different holes and make the cuts and get into these holes. So coming into this thing, he's like the zone scheme, and LeSean McCoy has been productive in this scheme in the past. And so coming in, he's like, whew, like I have the running back and the offensive line to get this done. Now it's not working right now. Now you're in a position you can't just go back and change it. You're in the middle of the season. You might be able to sprinkle in the power attack that you had from the last couple of years, but it's hard to just scrap everything and change it, as we were just talking about. This is what coaches do. They bring in their philosophy. He looked at it and said, I have the perfect team to run this. I have the quarterback that can run play action off of this zone scheme. That's why they're running the zone.
Two things from my standpoint. Coaches got to coach.
Right.
That's what they do. And they don't just pull stuff out of thin air. This is a scheme that Dennison has had some success with in the past. Number two, it's not all scheme.
Right.
Players got offensive linemen have to block. Running backs have to run. You know, it's not all scheme. There mm-hmm. are plays to be made that don't get made, and there are individual performances that have gone up and down on the offensive line, and they need to be more consistent. It's not just coaching. It's
right.
not just scheme, I believe.
You know, and we get into this position, unless you're actually watching the film and you're actually watching what's going on out there, because people are so quick to say, well, you need to just scrap this and go back to the power scheme. Well, you got to watch the film and actually see what's happening out there. Is it, you know, these guys get paid on the field to do a job. This is your job, all right? We need you to get out there. This is what we're going to run. Execute what we're going to run, all right? We're not scrapping this. So we need you to go out there. You get paid a lot of money. Execute what we're asking you to do, and it's not getting done by all of the guys on the field consistently all the time. And until you get that, now you have this other issue of you don't have the same guys on the offensive line. That's one issue. If you want to argue that, you can argue that. Like, you're subbing guys in and out of the offensive line. But you're on the field. We're paying you to get this job done. You got to execute it. And then if you're not executing it, it's not going to work.
We're going to break. Chris Brown standing by to join us in studio. When we return, we'll continue this discussion and any discussion you would like about the Buffalo Bills at the bye week. Is the toughest part of the schedule behind them? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network. Sports up update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The bye week is here. The Bills wrapped up practice about an hour ago inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. Head coach Sean McDermott says he wants to give his players some perspective on the season so far, first five games, and get them some downtime, some rest. Some injuries to work through as well, including one to tight end Charles Clay. He's going to be out multiple weeks with a knee injury. No timetable yet for the return of wide receiver Jordan Matthews, who's out with a thumb injury. Next up for Buffalo, home against Tampa Bay. 1 week from this coming Sunday, the Bills play three of their next four at home, where they are 2-0 this season. Cleveland Browns have made the quarterback switch. They're going to go with Kevin Hogan as their new starter when they play the Houston Texans on Sunday. That announcement from Browns head coach Hugh Jackson today. Hogan will make the first start of his career, replaces DeShone Kizer, benched after halftime of their loss to the Jets last Sunday. The Lions have put defensive tackle Haloti Ngata on injured reserve. He suffered a biceps injury against Carolina Sunday. Latest injury for Ngata, who played through a shoulder injury the last 2 weeks. He's 33 years old. Dallas Cowboys' biggest free agent signing this offseason, Nolan Carroll, will be released today, according to sources. He signed a three-year, $10 million deal that included a $3 million signing bonus with Dallas. Buffalo Sabres out west for a little bit here. They return to practice today before going across the country for a four-game road trip to California and Las Vegas, looking to bounce back from an 0-2-1 start to the season. It's the San Jose Sharks in San Jose tomorrow night. Sharks are 2-0 to start this season. Then the Sabres play Saturday in Los Angeles and end up Sunday in Anaheim. And John Farrell is out as manager of the Boston Red Sox after taking the team to back-to-back division titles, the first time in franchise history, but also first-round playoff knockouts. The Red Sox fired John Farrell as their manager today. Dave Dombrowski made the announcement. Dombrowski says the team needs a new voice in the clubhouse. Baseball playoffs today starts at 4 o'clock. Game 4 of the National League Division Series, the Nationals and the Cubs in Chicago. 8 o'clock tonight, the Yankees and Indians, the fifth and deciding game there. That is the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, Chris Brown, a couple of Yankee fans I'm sitting with here.
That's
huh?
right.
You guys been following this series?
I sure have.
Very closely.
That's right.
And can you give us your four-game recap, Chris? First, you go first.
not happy about the foul tip non-challenge, but the team has bounced back nicely in the last two games, so I'm not anticipating another crummy start by Kluber, though. So
right.
I go into tonight with much trepidation.
Did that challenge cost him a game?
Absolutely.
No question about it. You sure?
Yeah.
I saw the headline, and I didn't see the incident. Saw the headline. Headline in the Post, was it? WTF? Or
that's something? The third out. You're out of the inning.
Yeah. And it ended up what, a grand slam or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The you got to love the New York papers, though.
Yeah.
Joe Blow was another headline. That was another good one.
Yeah. People are like. I mean, people
he's a great manager, though.
He is a great manager.
It's not a fireable offense. I mean, it's unfortunate, but, I mean, this team is a year ahead of schedule right now because of Joe Girardi. I mean, the way he's pulled that group together, battled through some bad injuries. I mean, Starlin Castro was out for half the year. Greg Bird, who was supposed to start at first base, had a monster, you know, spring training. He doesn't get back until September. People are wondering if they should even put him on the postseason roster, and he's like, oh, yeah, he's going to be on the roster. And, you know, the guy – one swing and a bat wins game three. So, you know, he's a really good manager. There's probably maybe one or two managers that you could argue are better than him, you know, pound for pound in baseball. I mean, maybe Joe Maddon, and I don't know. I'd have to think for a second for another one.
Do you have a favorite team?
No, I used to.
Who used to?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have time. You know what happens to me in baseball? I used to do Bisons, and but you get following a team, and all of a sudden it's the end of July, and you go to training camp, and I just don't have time to pay attention to baseball anymore.
Well, when you were,
must not be a winner.
Okay. Oh, I like the Blue Jays. What'd you say?
Must not be a winner.
The Blue Jays were my team.
Yeah,
way back then.
They're hard to figure out.
Yeah,
I can't. They have talent.
Yeah,
they're pitching. Staff seem to explode every year. What the heck happens with
that? I don't know. Donald?
I don't know. We should ask George, you know, who works with us. He's a Jays fan. And, you know, George is interesting, though. He went to the game, playoff game last year. They won. He came back sad like they lost. I don't know. Just don't get it.
Don't try to figure out the Bills. Don't go down that road.
Don't go psychology here.
All right, let's try to figure out the Buffalo Bills here, Chris.
Sure.
Bye. 11 weeks since the start of training camp with 11 weeks left in the regular season. Seems like a natural time for a bye. We've been asking folks a question on Twitter and on the phone lines. Is the toughest part of the schedule behind them? And hear me out here, Chris. Their first five opponents, winning percentage, .652. Their next 11 opponents, winning percentage, .529. Could you argue that the toughest part of the schedule
You could argue. I'll go along with you. I'll go this far. they've faced some of the toughest defenses they'll face on their schedule.
Oh, I got those numbers too. You
want to
hear those?
I mean, without question, they've faced probably the toughest defenses they'll see, maybe with the exception of Miami, who's off to a very good start defensively, and they have to face them twice. But the defenses they faced so far, I don't think there's any question. Those are probably some of the toughest they'll see.
Let's just look at a snapshot of the last four games. Their previous four opponents, leave the Jets out of it. The Panthers, they lost to them. The Panthers, third-ranked defense. The Broncos beat them. Number one defense, Atlanta, beat them. The number 10 defense, the Bengals, ranked number two. They lost to them. And the next four opponents, this is what gets interesting to me, Chris. Tampa Bay, right now. And by the way, those first four, the Bills' numbers baked into that. I get that.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that. But the next four, Buccaneers, 30th-ranked defense.
Yep.
Raiders, 23rd.
Yep.
Jets, 25th. Saints, 29th. Part of me thinks, look, I know they've got some serious offensive issues, the Bills do, but part of me thinks by the quality of their opponents, they are likely to do better on offense in the next month.
You know, some people would argue the Jets, and the defense, you can argue, but the Jets are playing a lot better. You know.
Well, yeah, but you can use the same argument because they've had a very soft part of their schedule now, which is going to get significantly harder starting this week with New England.
Right.
And, you know, maybe New England isn't the same New England because their defense has no pass rush and they really can't stop anybody, but they're going to score 35 points
exactly.
a game, so have fun with that. But I think the Jets' schedule is going to bring them back down to earth very quickly.
See, I think when you look at the latter part of the schedule, for me, starting off at San Diego, and I think people will sleep on that team, but San Diego, Kansas City, New England twice, Miami twice, I think that is a tough part of the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I think Miami's got some other things to deal with right now through the first couple of months of their season with a lot of off-the-field stuff and hurricanes and who knows what else is coming down the pike for that team, you know, when you got assistant coaches doing lines at work. But, you know, it's a situation that goes, you know, it's a much different situation that the Bills are dealing with than, you know, maybe the Dolphins are dealing with. They're dealing with hardcore football-related issues.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are not.
Right.
They're dealing with personality issues.
Year, by the way, the
they're dealing with personality issues between an AWOL linebacker and Lawrence Timmons, a quarterback who has never been seen as a true blue leader of men. You know, an assistant coach who's completely off the rails and has to be fired. You know, weather issues, postponing their first game. They're going to have an extra game to play on. You know,
they have no bye week.
No bye week. They got to go to London. Miami could stumble and fall before they even see the Bills. So there's a lot of football here and a lot of circumstances working against a lot of other teams. Mm-hmm. And the Bills might be through the worst of it, you know, as Murph, you know, astutely brought up. I think from an offensive standpoint, you know, the path looks to be a little bit easier here moving forward.
803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to weigh in on this. If you'd like to vote in our Twitter poll, and I think folks are on to what I believe to be the best answer to our Twitter poll. The question is the Bills is the toughest part of the schedule behind them? 36% say who knows. That's where I am. Who knows?
Yeah.
36% say no, it is not. 28% say yes, it is. But who knows? And I've preached this for months. You know, you can't say – as you point out, Chris, where the Dolphins are going to be by the time they get to the Bills in December. Who knows what they're going to look like or what the Bills are going to look like.
Are you defeating your own argument here, dude?
I am presenting arguments
for
everyone.
Multiple arguments.
He's
it's not necessarily your argument.
Gender discussion.
He's a man of the people, and he's trying to present everyone's argument so that you can expand on.
That is my job.
Professor
like
Murphy
that.
At the front of the classroom.
I'm a facilitator.
The lecture has begun.
Exactly.
I want to get you to think on both sides of the issue.
Is this Humanities 204, or what are we doing?
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we've all agreed. I think one thing we can agree upon, it's a week-to-week league.
Yes.
And so, you know, we can make suppositions as to whether the schedule is going to lay out a little bit easier for the Bills as much as we want. You know, you look at Arizona, they've got zero running game. They just traded for Adrian Peterson yesterday.
Right.
I would like to think their running game is going to look a whole lot healthier pretty soon here, even if you think Adrian Peterson's lost half a step. And that's one guy I'm never going to doubt after the way I saw him come back from a major knee injury in 7 months and light it up. And I think he led the league in rushing that year. So they're going to be a better team. So how does that impact the NFC West? You know, the AFC East. What's going to happen? By the time the Bills play the Patriots, their defense might have a pass rusher, and they might be lights out, and they might be the number one red zone defense in football. all that kind of stuff can take place between now and the time the Bills are going to see a lot of their opponents. And for that matter, the Bills might be a whole lot better at running the football.
Yeah.
I mean, I found Eric Wood's interview earlier this week on this very station pretty interesting. You know, he's of the opinion, and he has not wavered from this opinion, that they are not far off from getting this new blocking scheme where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, I understand it's been a big issue.
Yeah.
And we're probably not as good with this scheme as we were with the scheme of the previous 2 years, but that doesn't mean we can't be in very short period of time.
Are we? Are you talking about Eric Wood yesterday when she opened the Bulldog?
Yeah,
I heard that. And that stuck with me. The other thing stuck with me is that he said he's always admired the zone blocking scheme and thought it would work and thought it would be good for him and for this team to employ that scheme,
and
which flies in the face of what a lot of the narrative is out there right now.
And just to give an example, a specific example, without getting too much into the X's and O's, but he was referencing some 4- and 6-yard runs by Tolbert mm-hmm. and McCoy in the Cincinnati game that he felt, after reviewing film, could have gone for much more. Those big chunk plays that we typically saw from this running game in the previous 2 years, because this was a team that led the league in 10-plus yard runs last year with 77.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
Those are not there right now. But he said, I'm watching the film against Cincinnati last week. There are 4- and 6-yard runs, which still, in the NFL, a 4-yard run is a positive play. He said, you know, we're just not getting that backside linebacker locked out, and that guy's, you know, coming from the backside and making a play, tackling our back at 6 yards, where if we take care of that guy and get to the second level, that's a 20, 25-yard run instead, because now he's into the secondary, he's making a guy miss, which we know Shady can do, and, you know, now you're really talking about flipping field position, staying on the field, mm-hmm. you know, fresh set of downs, all of those things.
I think people really, really underestimate how important it is for an offensive line to gel together, right? And so you have this new scheme that guys are trying to learn, and then you have guys who have been up and down, in and out of the lineup. And you have the offensive line that also has to gel with the running back. You know, like timing and everything has to be together with the running back. And so it truly is a work in progress. It is. And it takes time. Like when we go back to we were in training camp and Brownie was on and he said, look, this is going to take time for the passing game. We didn't realize it would take time for the running game to get going as well, but we can see how that is unfolding. It takes time for this running game to get going. And what you have is you have an offensive line. You might have everybody. This is why it's a team sport. You have everybody doing what they're supposed to do. If one person doesn't get their man, the play is done, you know, and so that's what they have to get going. Everybody has to be on the same page.
And I think Murph and I have seen enough coaching changes, scheme changes here over the years to know that you really don't know how well the new things that are implemented into the offense, the defense, special teams, and all the new players are going to fit as pieces of the puzzle until you get to around Halloween. You get to the end of October, early November. That's when everything kind of takes root. It's been repped enough to the point where you know if it's going to work or not,
right,
and how effective it's going to be on a week-to-week basis. Sure, you might run into a buzzsaw defense here or there, and it's not going to work no matter what play you're running or what blocking scheme you're executing. But, you know, and Coach McDermott said this on Monday. You know, we really aren't going to know what team we have until we get to early November. That's when you find out, you know, hey, this stuff's taking root. We're kind of humming along here. We're not half bad. You know, look, we're going to have a decent team going forward. And I think that's kind of the target that McDermott keeps putting out in front of the players.
Right.
Don't get discouraged by this latest loss. It's not going to define us. What's going to define us is how effective and efficient a team we are on all sides of the mm-hmm. ball. When we get to the end of October, early November, we'll know what we are, and we'll know how effective we can be no matter who the opponent is in any given week.
You know, to go to your point, Chris, let's think about some teams in recent history. We always talk about the Patriots, and people are like, man, you wish you can get the Patriots earlier before they start to get rolling. Now, this is a team that's been together for some time, and they still have their issues in the beginning of the season. But you get to the end of the season, and they're clicking. Everybody's clicking. You look at the Packers. For the last couple of years, they are terrible to begin the season. Now, this year, they're a little bit better, but they are terrible. And they get clicking, and Aaron Rodgers starts to be Aaron Rodgers, and then they squeak into the playoffs.
He covers up a lot.
He does cover up a lot. Seattle's the same way. They start off bad, and then they get rolling at some point, and it's usually around the end of October, like you're saying, you know. And then you get into November and December, and these teams are truly rolling. Last year, the Dolphins started off horrible. Now, mm-hmm. they had injuries. They had a tough schedule. They started off horrible, and then all of a sudden – you get, you know, week four, week five into the season against the Bills or against the Steelers and then the Bills, and they start to get rolling. And then they rolled into the playoffs.
Right.
You know, it takes time for teams to truly get going.
The issue here, there's no history of that here.
Well, right. There is no history.
Which,
and so
I understand why people would say, yeah, let's see it happen. I get that. I know.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen it happen here.
But it's because of the churn. I mean, that's the reason why you don't have evidence of that because of the churn.
We want to know from you, is the toughest part of the schedule behind the Bills? Let's take a couple of phone calls. Pat calling from North Tonawanda. Hello, Pat. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of things. The toughest part of the schedule, I kind of believe it's about even. I do. I like the points on the defense, and maybe they don't give a chance for our offense to get jump-started. And I really like the part of with you and the offense. Describing the process, because I think it's just so important, especially with the new coaching staff coming on board, and it is a process. An analogy can be to that is what sometimes I see people in the medical field, and I tell them early on, you know, they want to jump right into it, like with rehab, and you tell them, no, we have to go from step A to step B to step C. What I'm really encouraged with the Bills this year is that they're competitive. You see them out there. People are flying all around. They're gang tackling. There was like the coach said yesterday. There was five different rookies that played the other day. That was really encouraging. We are almost one play in two games from being 5-0, and we're also one play in probably two other games from being 1-4. But the thing is, they're competitive, and I can only see them going up from here. And with that, I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Okay. I don't think we can argue with that, Pat. You're right. They are competitive. I think that's kind of the bottom line when it comes to the NFL. And I think there have been good signs, and certainly it's not all success. The problem here today, Chris and Donald, is that we're coming off a disappointing four-point loss to Cincinnati, which colors the perception of this team.
It does.
Can you imagine if they would have scored six more points at Cincinnati? We'd be putting out, you know, we'd have to douse the enthusiasm.
Right. The issue is, in both of the losses, your offense just hasn't been able to get it done. That's the true issue.
And in a couple of wins, too.
Right. And in a couple of wins, right. But, you know, in the losses, it's like, man, you couldn't score more than 9 points. You couldn't, you know, you got into the red zone a couple of times. You couldn't put any points on the board. I mean, that's what people are looking at here. But I think it just goes back to what we were just talking about. It takes time, and hopefully these guys with the bye week can get some things corrected and get going.
I think, too, the knee-jerk reaction prompts fans to say, well, they should go get this guy or make a trade for that guy. And Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, if the opportunity presents itself to upgrade the team and it's not at a healthy cost, they'll make an upgrade. But this is not a front office or a coaching staff that's all that interested in quick fixes for short-term gain.
Right.
This is a group that is committed to the process, as the caller said, and they know what it takes to develop a winning program. I don't know that the results that you're going to get each and every week in getting there is going to make fans happy. There's going to be decisions that have already been unpopular, whether it's the Watkins trade or what, run down the list. But they are resolute in their belief that the decisions they make each and every day in getting to the end game are going to be successful in the long run. And the short-term steps forward and back are going to have to be endured by the fan base to get to that point. And it's not going to be all fun and games and, you know, peaches and cream getting there.
We've said that a couple of times in the first months of the show here. This is what change looks like.
Yeah.
This is what culture change looks like. It can be painful, unpopular decisions, whether it's Brandon Riley or Jonathan Williams or Sammy Watkins. I mean, there's a list of stuff that's been
But if there's one thing that I think we all felt comfortable saying, even way back in training camp, based on how the coaching staff was coaching this team, running this team through the mill, it was this is a team that's not going to beat themselves. Mm-hmm. And I know there was some doubt about that in the preseason when we saw all the penalties, but look at where they are now. This is not a team that is routinely beating themselves. They're not turning the ball over. Yeah, some penalties cropped up last week. It wiped out a couple of big plays, third down conversions to extend some drives. But this is not a team that plays sloppy football. There are a couple of miscues, as there are every week, but it is not egregious. It is not, you know, a bounty of plays where you're going, what are they doing out there? It's, on the whole, it's steady, consistent play, more on defense than many, than probably any other phase in the game, and it's kept them close in games. They're not beating themselves.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. A couple of minutes left with us here. Is the toughest part of the Bills schedule behind them already? Rick in Southern California has some thoughts on that. Rick, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph, Donald, Brownie, how are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Okay.
Good. Well, I had one point and then my Twitter poll opinion, but my point first and foremost is when it comes to Tyrod Taylor, I think he's a great guy. It really pisses me off, tell you the truth, when everybody's calling in saying let's put Peterman in and let's fire the OC when we still have a winning record, you know, and the season's only a quarter over. It's, you know, it really gets me on that note. but that being said, I don't think that the toughest schedule is over, fellas, because if you look at the last 5 weeks of this season,
yeah,
we got a lot of divisional games coming up back to back to back to back, you know, so, and we're, the Patriots are two of those. And if the Dolphins get their heads out of their butts quick enough, we're going to have a tough time with them, you know, so. I was really hoping when I first saw the schedule in the beginning of the season, when I saw us playing Carolina, then Denver, then Atlanta, back to back to back, my jaw kind of dropped a little bit. I was like, yeah, we're going to be about 1-4 to start the season. But it's not like that, you know, and I think this is the first time in a lot of years where I'm actually really excited for Buffalo Bills football, you know. So yeah. That being said, if we can manage to stay at or above 500 when we get to about week 12, then it's definitely our season to lose. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's a really good point, Rick. I really do. And you got me excited now about that last month of the season. Because you think about it, fellas. Rick, thanks for calling. If they can keep their heads above water, I'm kind of paraphrasing what Rick just said, keep, you know, 3-2 and move on through the next couple of weeks. So say you get to 11 games and you're 6-5, let's say, and say the AFC East is close, which it's very extremely close now.
It is right now.
Can you imagine those last five games, New England twice, Miami twice, the last 3 weeks, Miami twice and New England once? It would be saying is it would be really fun to finish the season to have the AFC East in play, the championship, or even a wild card, obviously. But that would be really cool.
If it works out that way, if you remember when the schedule came out and everybody complained about having home games in December and all of that stuff, well, now you'd have meaningful games. If it plays out that way, you will have meaningful games in December, you know, and all these divisional games, you will be able to see some meaningful games at the end of the season.
And you don't know what the complexion of those games are going to be. Standings aside, record aside, you know, as we were discussing earlier in this segment, you don't know what the complexion of those games are going to be. I mean, the Chiefs are 5-0 right now. What are they going to be in, you know, 8 or 9 weeks?
Right.
You know, the Colts. Is Andrew Luck Andrew Luck's probably in the lineup by the time the Bills play the Colts. I mean, that game takes on a whole different complexion because of who's at quarterback for them. And how's he going to look? Is he going to be awful? Is he going to be rusty? Or is he going to have his feet under him by then and winging the ball all over the field? I mean, these are all things that make the back half of the schedule exciting because nobody really knows.
You don't know. We don't even know what time. I mean, the league has already flexed one game, you know, so you don't even know what time the games are. There's
look
so
at
many
you changing the schedule time, the kickoff time.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping with the deadlines there.
My bad.
Yeah.
Hey, last question I have for you, Chris. Don and I were talking about it before you came in. What's the chance Rick Dennison goes home or wherever he goes on this bye weekend with a pen and a legal pad and say, look, I've got problems here. I don't have some targets in the passing game. Going to be out for a while. I've got a running game that's going nowhere. What's the chance he does a major overhaul? I'm not saying scrap everything, but does a pretty significant overhaul in their offensive approach, given the lack of weapons, given the way Tyrod's played in a couple of games in the first five, and given the fact that the running game has really not been reliable the last month anyway.
I don't think there's an overhaul. Because I don't think he can.
Should there be? I mean.
No, I don't think it's the smart way to go here. Because as we were just saying earlier, your offense in a new scheme is only going to begin to start to gain traction come the end of October, which is coming up very quickly here now. And so to come out of a bye week, I'm sure you can find some formational things and personnel grouping things that can take better advantage of the people you have at your disposal now. You know, where we're looking at more tight end sets, you know, with O'Leary and Thomas. I don't know. I mean, but those are the guys you have right now.
Right.
You know, you've got maybe you're throwing downfield a little bit more and playing max protection so you can try to hit Kalen Clay on some deep balls now. I mean, there are a whole bunch of preferences that I think change. But as far as scheme and playbook, you're not overhauling that stuff. I think You're probably looking at maybe some more max protections because you're going to have to keep tight ends in anyway. And maybe you are looking down the field a little bit more to get some bigger chunk plays in your passing game to better serve your run game, which you're going to have to rely on each and every week because that's the healthiest part of your offense right now.
Don't they have to settle on five on front offensive line soon?
Yes. I personally wish they had already.
Yeah.
Cordy Glenn's foot and ankle situation obviously compromised that on one side. You know, Coach Castillo has, you know, pushed this right guard competition into the season now with the decision last week. So hopefully that gets resolved whichever way they go. I think the most important thing is that it's resolved sooner rather than later, whoever their preference is, because you got to get five in a new scheme, especially. Yeah. You've got to get five guys out there repping it every day and then hope you stay healthy from there so it can gain a foothold and become something that you can rely on. Like in a pinch, you know, it's third and two. We're playing a decent defense here, but we know we can do this. We're running the football. Here we come. Try to stop it. That's where they have to get with their run game because that is the engine that's going to move this offense more often than not week to week.
What's your bye weekend look like, Chris? Watching soccer, coaching soccer? Thinking about soccer?
No.
Speaking of soccer.
It's actually none of those things, especially after Trinidad and Tobago.
I was just about to say.
Disaster that occurred there. It's a shame. It is a shame. There's no question about it. But, yeah, we'll be busy. A lot of stuff on the social calendar, Murph.
We've
got a wedding this weekend.
That's right.
That we'll both be at, actually.
We'll be at that. The Jimmy Action.
So that'll be number one. And just high school stuff with the kids. It's crazy.
I didn't get invited to that wedding.
Well,
you warned me, Murph. You warned me.
What?
When my kids were little, you know, little kids, little problems. Big kids, big problems. You got a lot more on the calendar now, where you're just running around like a nut job.
Yeah. Never stops. Me now. That's great. It's in front of you.
It's in front of me.
It's behind me, and Brownie's right.
Brownie's right in the thick.
I'm in the middle of it.
Have a great weekend, Chris. Thank you very much.
You too.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Chris coming back in a moment for coffee with the coach, a little conversation, and a little latte. With the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. Did you like that latte?
I talked about it.
Yeah. latte with the coach.
I'll be selling it.
Latte with the coach, Chris Brown and Sean McDermott coming up. Plus, NFL true or false when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Reed's Gens brings you the diamond in the rough. This week, it's safety Micah Hyde. Micah Hyde came into the league as Green Bay's fifth-round draft pick in 2013. He joined the Bills in free agency this past offseason. In week four against the Falcons, Hyde played a key role in the upset win with two interceptions in the second half. Last week, with his second quarter interception against the Bengals, Hyde became the first Bills defensive back since 1992 to have four picks in his first five games. Micah Hyde, this week's Diamond in the Rough, presented by Reed's Gens, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. What a solid signing by the Bills in free agency back in March. Hyde and Poyer, really. I mean, it's been said before, but really two good signings.
Yeah, two good
same
signings.
Week. What, day apart, I think, right? Same day?
Something like that, yeah. Crazy. Either same day or it was like a day apart. Yeah, it was. It's crazy how good they are playing together and playing off of one another, you know. And it's not just – yeah, they're making plays, and that's a great thing. You want to see both of these guys making plays, interceptions and tackles and all sacks by your safeties. All of that stuff is good. But it's how they also can rotate and really play off of each other, mm-hmm. you know. And that's a great thing to see. For two guys that, yeah, they might have known each other, but not like they're like best friends here, and the guys that never played together.
Yeah. Hey, our thanks to Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com for joining us last segment. We got Chris involved in this. We'd like to hear your thoughts on this. Our Twitter poll today, based on what we've seen so far, five games, is the toughest part of the Buffalo Bills schedule behind them. Still 11 games to go, but could you argue that they've played the toughest teams that they're going to play this year? On Twitter, it's pretty close. 37% of you now say, or 37% of you say no. The toughest part is not behind them. 35% say, how the heck do we know? Who knows? 28% say, yes, it is. The numbers, if you go by winning percentage, the Bills' five opponents, winning percentage to date, 652. The remaining 11 opponents for the Bills, their winning percentage, 529. The numbers would suggest that the toughest part is behind them. What if New England wasn't there? Do you think people would perceive it differently? I wonder.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I do. I think it's New England. It's where you're catching New England at the end of the season. Yeah. They're usually rolling at that point. Who knows? They might be terrible at that point. It might be just a total bad year. Unlikely, definitely.
Unlikely.
But like we've seen, you don't know who's going to go down, injuries, all of that stuff. You know, like we're coming off a week where J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham, Whitney Mercilus, Brandon Marshall, like all of these dudes out for the season. Some of the biggest names in the game, you know. And so you don't know what these teams are going to be going through. But, dude, when you look at it on the surface, you got Kansas City, New England, Miami. It's like, whew. That is a tough part of the schedule.
Miami doesn't bother me at all.
See, Miami has a very strong defense, and that's what gets me right. Their offense, I don't, you know, but their defense is a strong defense. We had trouble with their, especially the defensive ends and Cameron Wake, and like we had trouble with him last year. And then you have Ndamukong Suh on the inside of that thing. It's, you know, their defense is what really worries me.
Give us your thoughts on this question. Let's go to Jeff in Jamestown. Hello, Jeff. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I do think their toughest part of the schedule is behind them. If you look at their schedule, there's 11 games left, six are at home. Buccaneers, definitely winnable. Raiders aren't the Raiders of last year. You look, Jets, we could split with them. Patriots could split with them, but Saints that don't play very well away from the stadium. Chargers, they just find a way to lose. Chiefs, I don't see them beating the Chiefs. They're really good. Dolphins might split with them. So I think the streak will end. And my second part of my question is, I have as far as the injury settlement, this is right out of there is a rule in place that the team agreeing to an injury settlement can't re-sign that player until a minimum of 6 weeks passes following the amount of weeks of the initial settlement. For a player who did a three-week, three-game settlement, his team can't sign him back until after week 9. However, the player is free to sign with another team.
Yeah, right. So we're talking about Rod Streeter, and I know those rules are in place. I don't know, and this is some work we can get into next week. I don't know what Streeter's condition is, if he, in fact, is ready to help, ready to play. I don't
right.
know.
From what we understood, it was a pretty bad like turf toe, mm-hmm. you know? And so turf toe, if you've paid attention to the game, the guys that have had turf toe, guys don't even – I've played through turf toe. You can have the slightest of turf toe, and it truly – it hurts. You know, when you're talking about a position, a wide receiver that has to actually break down, cut, and do all of this stuff, you know, and accelerate again, it's not easy to do. And from what we understand, his was – severe, you know, so who knows if he's ready to play even when he's able to come back to here. You know, yeah. Who knows if he's ready to go at that point.
You can do some homework on that. We'll do that next week. Time now for Coffee with the Coach. Chris Brown and Bills head coach Sean McDermott got together to talk about some bye week issues. Here it is, Coffee with the Coach, presented by Tim Hortons Cafe and Bake Shop.
Mm-hmm. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Coffee with the Coach, presented by Tim Hortons. I'm Chris Brown, along with Bills head coach Sean McDermott, as the Bills head into the bye week with a 3-2 record. Coach, as always, thanks for being with us. So you head into the bye with a 3-2 mark atop the AFC East. I want to ask you your division of time here between some self-scouting and then getting ahead of the game and preparing for Tampa Bay in Week 7.
Right, Chris, the biggest thing we can do is really evaluate who we are and get a feel for who we are, what we do well, what we don't do well, and really just some self-discovery. We take that and we try and build so we can evolve. Obviously, there's a focus to get a head start on Tampa Bay at this point, but we'd be remiss if we went ahead and missed what's right in front of us, which is getting a better understanding and feel for who we are.
It looks like from a personnel standpoint, you're going to need to make some adjustments in the passing game. Charles Clay sidelined for a little while here, along with Jordan Matthews, who you lost the week before. How do you have to shift and adjust the point of attack in the passing game moving forward here?
Well, you never totally replace players like Jordan Matthews or Charles Clay in this case. You know, it's the next man up, and that's the philosophy we take. That's life in the NFL. It's another opportunity for someone to step up, show us what they've got, and really build for the future. And I think we've done some of that in the weeks leading up to where we are. That's why we are where we are. That said, we've got to continue to grow and build.
And then taking a look at the run game, I know it's a run game that's been very successful, and fans have seen that success the last 2 years. But as you said this week, every year is different. It is a new scheme that the offense is getting adjusted to. So in your mind, though, in the grand scheme of things, is it really just a matter of when it gets back to being productive again, not if?
Well, I think really, Chris, and I certainly acknowledge some of the struggles we've had offensively, some of the struggles we've had in the run game as opposed to other years. That said, it's really about us evolving as a team and being a balanced football team in all three phases, and then offensively being a balanced football team run to pass. If we are to get where we're trying to go in the days and months and years ahead, we must do that. We must continue to grow in all those areas, not just the run game.
All right, good enough. Now it's time for our fan question of the week, where you, the fan, get to ask Coach a question. We go out to our own Lauren Hall at a local Tim Hortons, who are now serving new handcrafted lattes, which are meticulously prepared, made fresh to order, using a new espresso machine, and starting at just $2.29. Here is this week's fan question.
Hey there, we're at the Tim Hortons on Southwestern Boulevard, right across from the stadium. We're with Allison. Allison, what's your question for Coach McDermott?
So now that you've been coaching here at home for a couple of games, what do you think of the atmosphere in the crowd?
All right, Coach, initial reviews on the home crowd.
Well, the crowd's been phenomenal at home. We've made it a point to win our games at home. We know the importance of that as it leads to getting to the playoffs, as that's one of our goals for this season. And we've been able to do that so far. We call it, or we refer to it as defending our dirt. And the players take a lot of pride in that. We take a lot of pride in it. We've been able to do it in some part due to our fans and the environment we create and the fans you create in our stadium here in Buffalo. And that'll be big for us moving forward. We can't wait to get back to play at home.
All right, Coach, as always, thanks for the time. Good luck getting those answers you're looking for here in the bye week.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's Bills head coach Sean McDermott. This has been Coffee with the Coach, presented by Tim Hortons. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
Coffee with the Coach, presented by Tim Hortons Cafe and Bake Shop. Defending our dirt. I like it. There's a T-shirt opportunity for you there, Donald. Go.
It is, right?
Defending our dirt.
You know, I'm starting to sense the entrepreneurial in you.
Yeah.
The entrepreneur in you, because it's I can see, you know, we have these different things that, you know, some people come up with, we come up with, you came up with brownie points. I'm surprised you haven't really.
I know. I got to find a way to make that pay. You can see the T-shirts now, right? A little picture of New Era Field, defending our dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Get those babies going. He said it on our show yesterday.
We too, did. That's the second time you've heard
it. Like it.
And I know for a fact that they've had someone in to speak on defending your dirt. And the route in getting to the playoffs is winning most of your games at home.
Does it matter that it's artificial turf? Dirt? Defending our
defending our rug. Defending our pellets.
Defending our carpet.
Yeah.
We're going to break. We've got more to come. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. And our final show of the week, believe it or not, Thursday, Friday, no show here because of the bye week. The players are off. We're going to get a couple days off. We'll be back here on Monday to reset the week and get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's going on with the New York Giants, Donald? Did you see these reports coming out today? Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie had a meeting with Ben McAdoo earlier this week, came to the Giants complex today, and decided to leave the team. He's been suspended. This past Sunday, Rodgers-Cromartie played. They demoted Eli Apple. Apple said he was a scapegoat. Now Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie leaves the building. He's been suspended. That thing's spinning out of control down there.
It's spinning. He might get fired, the coach. Okay.
This comes from NFL. Rodgers-Cromartie reportedly took his pads off at halftime on Sunday and said he didn't want to play, which then resulted in a fight with a teammate, according to WFAN radio. That's out of control down there, man.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's one thing to lose games. But when you seem to now be losing your team, that is when, you know, management, upper management is like, you know what, we got to do something here because he's losing the team. Guys are quitting in the midway point of this. Who does that? Who does that? You know, it's the same thing down in Miami. Look, we all know the stuff that's happened with the Hurricanes and all of that stuff. But now when you have, you know, coaches doing what they're doing, you have linebackers who go AWOL and just go missing. That stuff you can't have, you know, and it's not a good look on the coach. Down in New York, nobody expected this. The
Some
injuries.
Some people thought the Giants are going to win that division.
I thought they would win the division. Don't even say anything, bro. Don't say anything. I thought that they would win the division because they had the talent. They had the strong defense on offense. They added some weapons
Brandon
on
Marshall
offense.
Comes in.
I understand the injuries, and that just happened really this week. But just that team has not played well at all.
It's hard to watch. I really like Eli Manning. It's all falling apart around him.
They might be drafting the quarterback, number one overall, to replace Eli Manning.
Yeah. All right, a break here. Thurman Thomas coming up in the final hour of the show. Plus, we're going to talk about a critical catch, the program all over the National Football League, including in Buffalo next week with Tom Quattrocci of ECMC. All of that coming up in the third and final hour. Plus, more of your thoughts on the Bills' schedule at the bye is the toughest part of the schedule behind them now. We'll have phone lines open for that. Thurman Thomas will weigh in on that as well. John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Bye week for the Buffalo Bills. They practiced this morning inside the EdPro Sports Training Center. Now off until next Monday. Head coach Sean McDermott said his goal is to get some players some perspective on the season so far, the first five games, and also get some rest and downtime. Some injuries to work through as well. Tight end Charles Clay going to be out multiple weeks with a knee injury. No timetable yet for the return of wide receiver Jordan Matthews, who's out with a thumb. And who knows when, if ever, the Bills' formerly strong run game will return. Buffalo ranked 16th overall in rushing offense after leading the league the last 2 years. Next up, home against Tampa Bay a week from this coming Sunday. Bills play three of the next four games at home, where they are 2-0 this season. The Cleveland Browns have named a new starting quarterback. Kevin Hogan will get the start against Houston on Sunday. According to Browns head coach Hugh Jackson, make the first start of his career. He replaces rookie DeShone Kizer, who was benched at halftime of Cleveland's loss to the Jets last week. The Lions have put defensive tackle Haloti Ngata on injured reserve. He suffered a biceps injury against Carolina on Sunday. The latest injury for Ngata, who has played through a shoulder injury the last 2 weeks. He is 33 years old. He's been a starter all five games for Detroit so far this season. And the Dallas Cowboys are going to release cornerback Nolan Carroll, their biggest free agent signing of the offseason. He got a three-year, $10 million deal in the offseason after playing in Philadelphia. Has played in two games for Dallas so far. Sabres out west. They practiced this morning, now flying out west for a four-game road trip to California and Las Vegas, trying to bounce back from a 0-2-1 start to the season. They've been outscored 14-7 in those three games. The Sabres first up against the San Jose Sharks tomorrow night. The Sharks are 0-2. Buffalo's next home game will take place next Friday at KeyBank Center when they host Vancouver. Red Sox have fired manager John Farrell after steering a young team to their first back-to-back division titles in franchise history, but also first-round knockouts. John Farrell replaced by the Boston Red Sox today. Major League Baseball playoff today. Nationals and Cubs at 4 p.m. And later on tonight, 8 o'clock, the Yankees and Indians. And that is the update, the sports update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and we're happy to have Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas back in studio with us. Hello, Thurman.
Well, y'all should split that up.
What, this?
Yeah. Update? Giving an update. You give half and let Donald give half.
Why, too much?
Yeah, you were sitting there and I was looking at you going like.
Too much work?
Breathing a little bit. Just talking continuously. But that's okay.
It's all good. He's
it's all good. He's a pro. Right?
I wanted to talk to you about this. Before we get into, you know, Bills talk and football talk, I want to talk to you about your boy Shannon Sharp. Always outspoken, Shannon Sharp on his various views on different things. But this past week with that whole, like, the Miles and the Yak thing was hilarious to me. And then when he said with Nicole Murphy, that was hilarious
too. Oh, my God. He is by far one of the funniest guys you ever wanted to meet, or I've ever met. When we're at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, it's Shannon Sharp all the time, all day, every day.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes up with these sayings, and all of these sayings that he's been talking about, he learned these from his grandmother, pretty much all of them. So, he sometimes he scares me with some of the talk. I'm like, please.
Saying this on TV?
Yeah, he's very smart and very intelligent. And he, when he says a point and makes a point, you can tell that he's thought about it.
Yeah,
he's did whatever. He's very knowledgeable about everything that he talks about. I love listening to him. When he comes up on Twitter, I mean, I'm just – I press the button and just let it go.
He's, like, viral now.
Right.
So, Murph, you asked what he did.
Yeah, what did
he was on the show, and he had a Black & Mild cigar in his mouth. And they asked him, like, what are you doing with that in your mouth? And he's like, I'm on these Milds and that Yak, which is Hennessy, the drink. And then they just made it into this whole song, remixed it and made it into this whole song. And then he started talking about how he's in love with Nicole Murphy. Eddie Murphy's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hilarious.
What show is he on?
Sharp. He's on the show with Undisputed with Skip.
Skip Bayless.
Skip Bayless, yeah.
Hilarious. Oh, that's right. That's an everyday show.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, that's right.
For like 3 hours.
Right.
Well, hilarious. Now that we're talking celebs, who have you been hanging with?
I ain't been hanging with nobody. Been hanging with nobody. No.
Come on.
No.
Give us
I'll have somebody for you next week.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't really been doing anything but, you know, watching football and taking kids to batting practice, school, and all that stuff. So, you know, it's.
He's doing the dad thing.
Yeah. Doing the dad thing. Yeah.
Thurman's in studio with us for the next couple of minutes. You're welcome to join us. Phone lines open at 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Thurman, what do you think of this? And I don't know if I believe this, but we needed something to talk about today. The Bills schedule is the toughest part of the schedule behind them. Hear me out. The first five opponents, winning percentage, 652. The final 11 opponents, winning percentage, 529. That's a pretty big difference. They played Carolina, 4-1. They played Denver, 3-1. Atlanta, 3-1.
Yeah.
Jets have 3 wins. Could it be that they've already played the toughest games they will face so far this season?
Well, you know my answer is going to be every game is tough.
Okay, coach.
Every game is going to be tough, and every game is going to be different. But I do like the fact that we are 2-0 at home. Mm-hmm. Our next two opponents are at home.
Yeah.
Those are the games that you have to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the past, the Bills haven't been great at home.
Right.
And now they're on a streak, and I think I heard you talk about it earlier where I think one of the players said, yeah, we need to build on this. 3 out of our next 4 games are at home.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get on winning streak. We need to get, like, 4 or 5 games in a row where we can win.
Right.
But also look at the fact that this offense needs to get better. It needs to get better because as great as the defense has been, I'm not sure they can carry this for the next 11 games. Yeah. I mean, because you're going to – obviously, you don't want injury to happen. But when they're out there getting interception, getting turnovers, and it's 1-2-3 punt,
right?
That's – it kind of plays with your mind a little bit. You know, hey, look, we've gotten a couple of turnovers for you guys, but – I mean, they've been playing tremendously, the defense. But I just think when you have a defense like that that's going to keep you in ball games week in and week out, your offense has to come through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at it now, 20 to 20 points, 20 to 24 points, that should get you out of the next 11 games.
Right.
What, 7 wins maybe? 6 mm-hmm. or 7 wins. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward. I know Charles Clay got hurt. He's going to be out for a while. Hopefully they can get Jordan Matthews back. I don't know when his timetable is, but, you know, and another thing with that is that they got to find a way, some way, somehow, to get Shady involved in this running game. because it's just not working the first five games of the season. Obviously, with the Jets, it worked very well. But now you look at the Jets, they're 3-2 also. And they got a pretty good defense. So I think it's just some things that you're going to have to switch up. I don't know what their plan is for the bye week and coming back for the following week to do something different.
Now, it's interesting that you said that from the running back's perspective. How much can you switch up on the offensive line in the middle of the season? You know, like this is the scheme that they've been working on since the spring. So I understand how successful they've been in the last couple of years running that power scheme, but they've been working on this since the spring.
Right.
So can you just go back to what you did in the past?
I think these guys are smart enough to understand maybe a simple blocking screen scheme to go back maybe to some plays that they've ran the past couple of years.
Right.
I've seen Tolbert where he's been running between the guards. Why not let LeSean do that?
Yeah.
Now I give him an opportunity instead of running the stretch zone all the time because obviously, you know, that's part of Rick Dennison's playbook. His number one play is the stretch zone. And but I do think you have to do it a little bit differently. You know, back in the day, we were allowed to, since the running game was coordinated through my coach, Elijah Pitts, I was allowed to, like, give him some, hey, coach, can we run this? I know we haven't ran it in maybe a year or two or five or six games. Let's go back to this and see, because that was our bread and butter. Do you do that here now? I don't know. I think it's something that you can probably work on throughout the bye week to see how it goes, maybe switch it up a little bit. But I know that's his, you know, his, the stretch zone play is his bread and butter, so it is obviously got to get better at that.
How important is it for you to have timing? Because, you know, it's one thing with the scheme. It's another thing when you have linemen in and out of the lineup. You don't have the same lineman in there.
Right.
So how important is it for you as a running back to have the timing right with the offensive line?
Well, you know what? It's good that you can have the offensive lineman and have that timing. But you know what? For a running back, it's really instinct. You just put a body on body and let's go. Yeah. And that's what Elijah Pitts used to always say, hey, look, offensive linemen, they can probably block five, but you're going to have to make one miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think it's that big of a difference where the timing will be off or something. It's running the football. You're already 7 to 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. You can see pretty much everything in front of you. So I don't think it has anything really to do with timing, because if you're going to run some plays where straight downhill, body on body, that's not timing. That's just getting on body on the body and just driving a guy.
With Thurman Thomas, Bills Hall of Fame running back, and he's here for the next couple of minutes. You can join us as well. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. That dialogue you had with Eli, your old running backs coach, Elijah Pitts. Richie Incognito was in here last week, Thurman, and he talked about how he's had similar discussions with the offensive coaching staff about, can we work more power dimensions into our offense? And they have a little bit.
Right.
That's the way it, like, we've got callers saying, fire Dennison, move on. But that's, it kind of evolves, right, as players get to know coaches and coaches get to know strengths. I mean, it should take a little bit of time, I would think, more than 5 weeks.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, you can do all of the training or whatever that they did with the OTAs and the training camp or whatever. But, yeah, I think there has to be some type of give and take there for the offensive line to try to do some different things or whatever. I mean, I would hope that that is the situation with a veteran guy like Richie, who's like, you know, hey, I don't really – we had great success with Greg Roma's offense, pulling and all the type of stuff, but, you know, I just want to hit people and try to pancake them, you know.
Right.
So give me an opportunity to let the five guys up front, six guys if you're talking about the tight end or the fullback, and let's just go and pound some people and see just to simplify it a little bit and just go straight forward.
Right.
So, you know, they got a couple of veteran guys on their football team, Eric Wood and Richie. So I would hope that they have really good communication. I know it's a new system for everybody, you know, except Coach Dennison, but I would hope that they would be able to communicate like that and do something different.
You got a new scheme that these guys are trying to run. You have OTAs. You know, it's a lot different than when you played, even my first year here when we had two-a-days. So these guys are not – offensive linemen have to hit people. I mean, they're not on the field as much hitting as they used to. So when you have a new scheme, it's one thing to walk through stuff, but it's totally different to actually have to run these plays against live bodies that are leaning on you as well and trying to actually get into the backfield. So do you think the way this line is looking right now is somewhat reminiscent of just the rules now and the OTAs and how things are?
I would say that that's a good possibility. I mean, because think about it. We used to have two-a-days. We used to hit every single day
And
line up against different formations all the time. Now, you know, they got the shells, I think they call them. Yeah. I never even knew what those were back when I played. But now they got shells. You can't really, you know, I guess it goes back to your point. You can't really get the timing down, I mm-hmm. guess, with trying to hit a defensive lineman or a linebacker that's moving because, I mean, they're really moving
right.
without pads on.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a little bit different, but I guess you just, you know, I just wish that they could turn it around. I mean, you're because now everybody's talking about, see, LeSean's old.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about that, but it's a bigger picture than that. It's the offensive lineman, and it's a new scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see anything in the games you've watched in Shady and LeSean McCoy that indicates that he's slowing down a little bit or he's not playing that well?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think this year, probably more than anything, the first five games, we've seen him hit behind the line of scrimmage a lot of times.
Yeah.
A lot of negative plays.
A lot of negative play. I think he might be leading the league in negative plays.
He might be.
So, you know what? I think the last game against Cincinnati, I did see a little frustration there a little bit, especially when he got the long run. And
yeah,
I think he knew right away that there was a flag, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, that's the type of player that he is, that he's been over his career. Get some negative yards, but boom, he can pop along with it at any time. But I think it is a little frustrating for him because he was looking to have a big year because everybody said, like, oh, he's going to be perfect for this offense.
Mm-hmm. He had a great preseason.
Great
first game against
right.
the Jets.
He hasn't lost anything to me.
No.
You see him catch those screen passes and you know, convert on 3rd and 17 type of stuff. For me, even in the backfield, as soon as he gets the ball, there's somebody in his face. He's
right.
making one person miss. He usually will make that person miss. Now, you know, there are times where he gets smacked in the backfield, you know, but there are other times where as soon as he can actually get the ball, he has to make a guy miss. He can make that guy miss and at least just get back to the line of scrimmage.
Right.
I don't think he's lost anything. I think it's a combination of the offensive line, the scheme, and everybody just trying to figure it out, you know, and they haven't been able to figure it out.
He hasn't lost a step.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost a step. He's we just haven't seen it this year besides the first game of the season against the Jets.
All right, how about this, Sermon? And this goes to the schedule and who they have played and who they're about to play. We were talking about this early in the show. Last four opponents for the Bills. Week two, the Panthers, third-ranked defense in the NFL. Week three, the Broncos, number one defense in the NFL right now. Week four, Atlanta, 10th-best defense in the NFL right now. Last week, Cincinnati, second-ranked defense in the NFL. You've got three of the, you know, the top – and those last four games, they played four of the top 10 defenses, and they played 1, 2, and 3. Now, the next four games, Tampa Bay, 30th-ranked defense in the NFL. Oakland, 23rd-ranked defense in the league right now. Jets, 25th. New Orleans, 29th.
Are these all against the run?
Nope. Overall defense.
Overall defense?
Yards per game.
Wow.
So, the point is, they still have to get better on offense, but the caliber of the defenses they have faced are going to be is a lot different than the ones they're about to face in the next four games.
Yeah. And like you said, three or four of them are at home, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that should be an advantage, you know, going into the next four games. So, yeah, I mean, when you have defenses that are at the bottom like that, you're going to find some holes in that defense.
Yeah.
And hopefully this will be an opportunity. I mean, Tampa was, 29th or whatever?
Yeah, Tampa's 30th.
Yeah, they're 30th. Well, you talk about, you know, coming in and wanting to put up some points.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity. Oakland's an opportunity. The Jets and New Orleans. Come up and put up some points and maybe try some different things now
right.
against something like that because you know your defense is going to be fine
mm-hmm.
against these next four opponents, I think. I don't know if Derek Carr is going to be back.
Right.
But
he might be.
He might be. Yeah. And then you got Drew Brees at the last of the four games.
Yeah.
So, I hope the offense explodes. It's an opportunity to be had. It's an mm-hmm. opportunity to be taken advantage of these four next opponents that you're playing.
Is this something as a running back that you would look at your opponents and where they were ranked? And hey, man, this is a team we got to get going. You want to get going against every team.
Every team.
But if you're struggling,
yeah,
this is a team we got to get going against.
Especially at home.
Yeah.
Especially at home. That's when you really want. I mean, there are games where I've been in where you know the offense wasn't doing well in the running game,
mm-hmm.
but you see an opponent, and you be like, okay, we can do this. And if everybody's upbeat, including the coaches, you know it's going to be a good game plan.
Right.
They're going to put you in a position to where you're going to make some long runs, some good plays, and, you know, hopefully get, like, over 200 yards rushing. Those are the type of games right now, especially against Tampa Bay and Oakland here at home. Those are the type of games that you want, like 200 yards rushing,
mm-hmm.
you know, from LeSean and all the rest of the guys.
Thurman, you brought up Derek Carr, and I was thinking as I looked at the schedule stuff this morning about the quarterbacks. Now, this is the other side of the ball. The quarterbacks the Bills will play against the rest of the season, including Derek Carr. And Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and Alex Smith and Tom Brady twice. There's some good quarterbacks out there.
Don't leave out Jay Cutler.
Yes, I did. And I left out Andrew Luck, too.
And Jameis.
But the point is, there's some really good quarterbacks coming the Bills' way in the next 11 weeks.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm still looking back at the Carolina game. Can't believe, you know, they'll limit the 9 points the way Cam has been playing over the past 2 weeks. Obviously, you had Denver, Matt Ryan. So, yeah, I mean, I think this defense is up for the task, though. I think the first five games, how they have been playing, is probably an indication of how they're going to be playing year-round. I tell you what, Poye and Micah Hyde, I mean, you talk about having four new guys in the secondary and doing what they're doing. Yes, Tre'Davious White is a rookie, got beat by A.J. Green. But every time that he has been beat, he has always bounced back.
Yeah.
He has always bounced back. And that's right there the sign of a great football player that's going to be here for a number of years.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us a couple more minutes. You're welcome to join the conversation at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550 or on Twitter. Here's an interesting Twitter question, Thurm, that you can speak to.
Okay.
Steph Go Bills tweets in, any thoughts or comments on Patrick DeMarco, this year's fullback, versus Jerome Felton, last year's fullback? DeMarco can catch. Maybe they should increase his workload. What have you seen from DeMarco? And in your mind, how does he compare to Jerome Felton?
Oh, God. I really don't like comparing fullbacks. I mean, I really never played with a fullback in front of me, so I don't really know.
You didn't want a fullback, really?
No, I didn't want. They were just kind of a guy that was in the way. I just wanted to see the field, you know? Just
hey,
me back
man,
there.
Get out the way.
Yeah, it's me back there, okay. I know you might go this way and I might go that way, or, you know, hey, I would like to pick up that linebacker and, you know, somebody else or whatever. But I don't know. I haven't really seen too much because the running game hasn't been there.
Right.
I don't know if he's blocking well. I haven't really seen too many passes out of the backfield.
That's what shocks me.
Right.
Because we know he is a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield. And coming in, we're like, man, maybe you'll see him in more of an H-back type of role and the fullback. We haven't really seen him catch the ball at all or be moved around at all.
But with we were talking about this, I think, earlier today on the show, with Charles Clay out.
You could
maybe when Rick Dennison sits down with his imaginary legal pad this weekend, he says, I can do something with this guy.
Well,
I can use him in a passing
game. He's been in the league for a while, Rick Dennison, coaching in this league for a long number of years. I'm sure he has some plays in his playbook where they are designed for the fullback, and maybe the fullback – maybe the H-back or the tight end or whatever. I'm sure he has some plays in his notebook about that. And so hopefully we'll see more of him. But I really can't compare him and Felton.
What do you think of Mike Tolbert this year, backing up McCoy?
I like Mike.
Everybody likes him.
Yeah, I mean, I mean he's been productive, I think, being a second back. I know a lot of people kind of complain when he gets the ball and try to run a stretch, but he's not calling a play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is designed to really run straight up the middle.
Yeah, power.
Power. Like this right here. This is what he's designed to do. He's not, you know, he's not calling the play. If he called a stretch play for him, that's Coach Dennison calling that. So I'm fine with him being the second round, the second back in this offense. I think he's done a tremendous job. I think he'll help going down the stretch, you know.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Thurman, five games in, have your expectations for this year's Bills team changed much at all based on the three wins in the first five and what lies ahead, all the schedule stuff we talked about?
No, you know, my expectations for this team has been, you know, I want them to make the playoffs. And I still think to this point that they can make the playoffs. Like we were talking about earlier. Get on a 3 or 4 game winning streak, it increases your chances. And you have to win your games at home. And you have to be competitive on the road. I mean, they've been
competitive.
I mean, 6 points, 4 points, 3 points here. The games that they've lost on the road. So, I'm excited just from the fact that I know that our offense can play better and the fact that our defense is playing so great. I want that to change. I want our offense to play well and want our defense to continue to play well for the rest of the season. So, you know, every time that they go out there on the field, my expectation for them is to win ball games. That's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm happy at 3-2. I wish we were 4-1, which I think we should be.
We should be 5-0.
Could be 5-0, but they're not.
Right.
So, you take a week off, you come back and get ready for Tampa Bay.
Did we talk about what your bye weeks used to look like? What did you used to do when you played? Did you?
Our bye week was nothing.
Really?
I mean, we would fly to Virginia Beach with Bruce and play golf for 2.5 days, leave late Thursday night, and have to be back here early Monday morning.
But, I mean, you know.
What's wrong with that, by the way?
I was just about to say. You know,
what are you complaining about?
How much are you trying to get done in the bye week? Right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't really need to fly out of the country, and that's too much. You know, you need to go somewhere. You can play some golf, chill, with your, whatever, if it's your family, if it's your boys, however you decide to do it. I don't think guys need to be, like, trying to go to China here, you know.
Oh, well.
I get it.
Some guys went to London a couple of years ago.
During the bye?
On the bye week.
Yeah.
I remember Steven Johnson going over there.
I do remember.
Were you
Steve.
On
yeah,
that
see?
Trip?
I wasn't on
see?
That trip. I wasn't on that trip.
You wasn't on that trip.
Now, Stevie went in part because he had to do something for New Era as well.
Oh, okay. I give him a break
yeah,
on that.
He had to do something for New Era.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't invited to that trip. I didn't get to take the trips with Biebs.
He's waiting for Justin Bieber to invite him somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Can you see those two running around?
No.
Herm's probably been with Biebs before.
No,
on
no.
The boat. On
no.
The boat with Biebs and Odell Beckham and all those boys last year.
If I'm on a boat, it's with my wife and kids. Not the Biebs.
Thanks, Thurman. We will see you again. Have a great bye weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thurman Thomas, Bills Hall of Famer. He's Bills Wall of Famer as well, joining us in studio. We got more to come. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks again to Thurman Thomas for stopping by. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and a special guest in studio as the NFL, and Buffalo in particular, gets set for the crucial catch week, which is next week here at One Bills Drive. Happy to have the president and CEO of Erie County Medical Center, Tom Quattrocci, in studio with us. Tom, you were here last year, I believe.
I was. Thank you. Yes,
welcome back.
I was. And I think last year, obviously, was breast cancer awareness.
Yes.
And now we've kind of broaden that to all different types of cancer.
Yeah, so talk about that, if you will. That's kind of a league-wide initiative, right? To why just isolate breast cancer, right? You've got
right,
a little bit
right.
of everything.
Yeah, I think you know, the NFL realized, and obviously, you know, in our community, many people are fighting cancer of all types, and it's obviously very serious. You know, Jim Kelly's done a lot of, working around head and neck cancer, making people aware. He's obviously, spokesperson for us. And, he had obviously his battle and had surgery at ECMC. So people don't normally think of ECMC when it comes to cancer care. But we have a wide variety of services at the hospital around cancer.
I know when breast cancer was so prominently featured in NFL stadiums all over the country for the last couple of years. But there were other folks, including, local groups, that were talking about prostate cancer. This is one
right.
way to sort of fold it all into one, right, to take care of everybody and get the awareness out there that is desperately needed.
Correct. You know, I mean, I think the screening around all types of cancers obviously is very important, whether it be colorectal, prostate, whether it be breast, head and neck. I mean, every single cancer, I think, people need to realize what their genetics are around that with their primary care physician and talk about what their family history around that and, really make sure they're diligent about that. It's kind of sometimes scary to realize how much cancer there is even in Western New York, but other parts of the country. But I think, catching it early, which is what this is all about, and screening and prevention is really important so that we can talk more about survivorship.
And that's the catch part of Crucial Catch, right?
Correct.
The screening, the catching detection, figuring out what's going on.
Right. So we have a mobile mammography coach that goes through the whole community. And, we've been doing that for a few years now, and we've had over 10,000 screenings. We go all over Western New York, rural areas, in the inner city. It's all about access. But also, again, other types of cancers. Again, we talked about, screening, whether it be, having colonoscopy or prostate screenings, whatever the case may be. We need to, continue to make people aware that they need to be diligent about their health.
Now, over the years, it seems like people are becoming more health conscious. Now, as you are doing screenings, can you see the numbers of people now coming in to get checked earlier? Are there more and more people coming in to get checked, or has it been a change in that at all?
Yeah, I think some of the increases in the numbers we're seeing is because people are catching it earlier. So, you know, and I think mortality rates are better as more technology comes about and as, again, more of these awareness types of efforts continue. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think we see maybe an increase in people diagnosed with cancer. But, you know, maybe in the past, many of those people weren't diagnosed early enough and you know, didn't survive that. So, you know, this is about obviously continuing to raise awareness around that, making people aware of services that are available. So we're doing a health fair on Monday at ECMC, and it's going to be from 12 to 3 on the campus for the whole community that people can come into. We're going to have, you know, giveaways and food and all those types of things. So, it's our effort to raise awareness in the community and make sure people, you know, seek the care they need.
And that really, the community health fair is the first day of a week-long series of events, right? And a lot of it will be showcased when the Bills play Tampa at the end of the crucial catch week for the Buffalo Bills in here in Western New York. You have a number of other events, including, you mentioned the mobile mammography unit, which is going to be out and about, including in Olean next Wednesday, huh?
Yes, correct. So, again, you know, talking earlier about kind of some of the rural areas, you know, our first effort really when we had the mobile mammography coach, I guess say that 10 times fast, was to really connect into the inner city because of the lack of transportation. That's the number, as the Komen Foundation would say in their studies, that was the number one reason people did not get mammographies. And so same thing happens in the rural areas, obviously very spread out. So, you know, we're very, very pleased to bring that service to Olean and many other of the rural communities to make sure that they have access to the care they need.
Next Tuesday night, right in our building here at Pro Sports Training Center, there's a family fun night for kids who are battling cancer. Can you talk about that a little
Correct.
Bit?
So, yeah, we're very, very excited about that. I think, obviously, our partnership with the Bills, we continue to, you know, engage with the awareness with the Bills. And, obviously, you know, the Bills bring the star power to our events. And, you know, people really want to be associated with the Bills. And I think that, you know, having the kids come out and celebrating, you know, their survival, celebrating and fighting with them to give them strength is really important. So I think this is, you know, really, really important, again, as we continue to raise awareness in the community for people so that they get the care they need.
It's always interesting for me now, you know, in my battles with health, with my health, I've traveled now the world, and I get to meet so many different people dealing with different things. And it's always interesting when you meet children that are dealing with these things, how they don't really know, they don't understand.
Right.
You know, what's going on, and they're still so upbeat and they're happy. And, you know, as adults, we're like down and out and everything, but it's always so interesting. And people are like, man, I hate to see children who are sick. And I'm like, well, if you actually go to a hospital and visit a children's hospital, they just want to have fun. And that's what they're doing, you know, as much as they can.
Yeah, I think, you know, and mental state, as you know, is so important, mm-hmm. right, for people. So the more that people can come together at these events and connect with each other and the kids can connect and understand that, you know, they're not the only ones going through this. You know, we're very blessed in our community to have a wonderful children's hospital that's, you know, opening very, very soon here, November 10th. So, you know, they're obviously, Kaleida Health and Children's Hospital is very involved, obviously, in this event. They're our partners through Great Lakes Health. But you know, bringing people together is so important for mm-hmm. that, you know, mental health aspect of dealing with cancer or any other right. medical conditions.
Our guest is Tom Quattrocci. He is President and CEO of Erie County Medical Center as we work our way towards crucial catch week next week leading up to the Bills game against Tampa Bay. There are going to be videos, and we've seen these. I think it started in Major League Baseball a couple of years ago, but the I'm Fighting For videos, those are moving. Everybody's been touched by cancer, and to see people, players, fans, coaches hold up a sign or just make a statement about, you know, who is in their family who's been touched by cancer. I think that's very effective. You must find that.
It is. It is. You know, I think, you know, people put, whether it's NFL football players or people in very public positions, kind of on a pedestal and forget, you know, everybody in life has their struggles and everybody in life, you know, has to deal with these types of things. So I think, you know, again, back to people understanding that, you know, this does affect everybody. It does not discriminate when it comes to people. So, you know, that that inspiration that's given from those who are in the public light, I think is really, really important for people and gives them the inspiration and the fight to move forward with whatever condition they're fighting for.
How does it make you guys feel personally when, you know, you go out and you do this mobile mammography? I got to say it slower than you guys so I can actually get it out there. This mobile mammography, and you're out there and you're testing people, and, you know, someone does find out and they catch it early, you know, and they come back and say, thank you for doing what you did, for coming around me so that I can get tested. And you know, I found out that I had this, but I caught it early, so I was able to fight it.
Yeah, actually, last year in our video, we had a patient who actually walked up to the coach. Usually people, you know, get appointments before they do that. Mm-hmm. She just actually walked up. The great staff at Western New York Breast Health accommodated her, and they found cancer. And luckily they found it early enough. She did have to go through treatment, but she was a survivor, and had she not done that, she may not be here today. Mm-hmm. So it really is rewarding. It's the most rewarding thing about what we do. I'm from Western New York, so obviously, you know, get a lot of phone calls from friends and family and neighbors in the community. And when you're able to help, there's nothing more gratifying. And especially, obviously, when we're able to take really good care of people. And it's a very special culture at our hospital, and people get a great experience and a great outcome. There's nothing more rewarding than that. Right.
Crucial Catch Week is next week. And when the Bills take the field and play Tampa Bay on Sunday, October 22nd, their next game, right before the game, 50 cancer survivors on the field. Tell us about that. That's going to be a great
Season. It really is moving. And obviously, you know, the cancer survivors have been on the field before, specifically around breast cancer before. But it's just fun to see them so excited again, you know, many tears, you know, realizing and kind of being hit with the moment that they've survived something, you know, very significant. And to enjoy that with others, enjoy that with their family, it's a touchy moment. It's very special when they're able to go on the field.
They used to have white jerseys with pink, but they'll be all different colors now, right?
Representing
the various cancers.
Representing all the different colors. I think the NFL kind of put together, you know, different colors for different types of cancers, mm-hmm. and so it'll be a little bit different this year, but obviously, you know, just as important.
Crucial Catch Week is next week, and tell us again about Monday. It kicks off with the Community Health Fair, noon to 3, right at ECMC. You're going to have some Bills alumni there? Is that
correct? Yeah, we're going to have some Bills alumni there. We're going to have some drawings for Bills tickets. We're going to have free flu shots for people, so people can come and get their flu shots. And obviously, you know, many medical professionals will be there to help talk about different types of cancer, whether it be dental and oral, whether it be other education, smoking cessation, Hep C, which obviously is regarding liver and can lead to liver cancer. So it's really going to be, you know, people are going to have a lot of access to a lot of great medical professionals to be able to talk to them.
You know, we've seen the commercials over the last few years with maybe Western New York's most prominent cancer survivor, Jim Kelly, a beloved figure here in Western New York. And those have some impact, don't they? Not just in a commercial sense, but just sort of getting your attention.
Yeah, they do. You know, like I said, you know, people don't normally think of ECMC for cancer care. And we have a breadth of cancer care. And again, with our partners at Kaleida, we have a lot of cancer care. Actually, 35% of the market actually uses our services for cancer care. People may not know that. But, you know, Jim is as important as it is for him to talk about what happened with him and his battle with cancer, I think what he found is his connection with the culture at ECMC. I always talk about it. It really is special what the caregivers do on a daily basis. You know, we're talking about cancer here, but when you talk about trauma care, burn care, mental health, it really is a special group of people that takes care of this community. And, you know, Jim has really been touched by that. And he is really, when we've done the Jim Kelly Tough Room that he did, that he wanted to do because he wanted to give something back to the nurses and the organization to talk about and thank everybody for his experience being there and how well, you know, he was taken care of. You know, it is significant for people. It's motivational for people. And for a place like ECMC that's gone kind of from a place of last resort many years ago to a place of choice in our community, we've grown 25% in the last 5 years. It's really important for the employees who continue to be very proud about the care they deliver every day.
No, they got a lot to be proud of, and it's going to be fun next week, the Crucial Catch Week. Tom, thanks for coming by here today and talking with us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Tom Quattrocci is the president CEO of ECMC, and next week, Crucial Catch Week, leading up to the Bills game against Tampa Bay. It all starts on Monday with a community health fair, noon to 3, at the main building, ECMC, on Grider Street, second floor, overflow cafeteria, with all kinds of events there. It's kicking off on Monday at noon. We've got more to come. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, joined us in the 1 o'clock hour today. And he talked about how we can look ahead at the schedule. We can look back at who they played, who they still have to play. According to Brownie, Chris Brown from Bills.com, it's important that the team take things week to week.
We really aren't going to know what team we have until we get to early November. That's when you find out, you know, hey, this stuff's taking root. We're kind of humming along here. We're not half bad. You know, look, we're going to have a decent team going forward. And I think that's kind of the target that McDermott keeps putting out in front of the players.
Chris Brown, who joined us earlier this hour, Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Famer, was in studio with us, and he talked about how the Bills have to proceed after the bye week. Here's what Thurman said.
Our next two opponents are at home.
Yeah.
Those are the games that you have to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the past, Bills haven't been great at home.
Right.
And now they're on a streak, and I think I heard you talk about it earlier where I think one of the players said that we need to build on this. Three out of our next four games are at home.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get on winning streak. We need to get like four or five games in a row where we can win.
Right.
And but also look at the fact that this offense needs to get better.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. We all hope that the offense gets better. And soon. And especially against these teams that you have so eloquently pointed out.
Here's Manny in Hamburg, who's got some ideas on how the offense can get better. Manny, are you still with us there?
Yeah, I am, John. But, you know, I was just thinking maybe I'll call back tomorrow. What I want to talk to you, I just want to mention that I watched your program yesterday, and you had Steve Tasker and the coach on, and that was just great television.
Oh, thanks, Manny.
If you put that together, your producer, whoever it was, deserves a medal.
Right.
If you're a Buffalo fan, that was just great viewing. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Manny, that's awfully sweet. Thank you,
Manny. And just to let you know, don't call back tomorrow.
No show tomorrow, Manny,
no
or
show
Friday.
Tomorrow. Yeah, so next week. But go ahead, what's your question? What do you have for us?
What I was going to say is that I agree with the commentary that you guys were saying about changing the offense. I don't think we can redo the whole offense, but I think we can massage the offense. I think the number one receivers – in the past have been the comfort zone for Tyrod, I think, has been throwing to the backs and to the tight end. Throwing the ball downfield really doesn't really work for the Bills for the last couple of years. I think we should throw the ball down the field once in a while, but I think the number one target ought to be the tight ends and the running backs. Move the ball down the field, ball control, San Francisco, the West Coast offense. And I think a lot of the fans are calling in asking for Peterman, is because Peterman did that. He took three steps through the ball. He didn't stand there for 5 or 6 seconds, and then, you know, nothing happened. Now, why the long game don't work, whether it's the receivers or whether it's Tyrod, I don't know. That's for the coaches to figure out. But it's never been really productive in the last couple of years, even with Watkins in there. So I just think we should massage the offense so that the tight ends and the running backs are the number one choice for receiving the ball, and the wide receivers would be the secondary choice. And I know Donald Inkett don't like that, being a receiver.
What do you think of that, Donald?
That is a horrible idea, man. No, I'm just – look, I think, yeah, the issue is you don't have your tight end now. You don't have your true deep threat tight end. Now, Logan Thomas can be that guy. Maybe even Nick O'Leary can be that guy that can – get down the field. Who knows? He hasn't really shown me that he can be that guy. Yeah, you need to keep going to the tight ends. For me, you need to throw it to your wide receivers as well, though. You know, you need to throw it to those guys because you can take a tight end out of a game. You truly can. You can double team anybody, you know, and so you can't show to where this is the only person we throw to is Charles Clay and LeSean McCoy. You have to throw it to everybody else so that guys – it helps those guys now get one-on-one opportunities. And when they get those one-on-one opportunities, when you watch games in the NFL, you always see, all right, this quarterback, when he gets a one-on-one opportunity, he's going to go to that guy. You can't get one-on-one with your star players if that's the only guy you throw it to, you know, because teams are too good. Coaches are too good. They will take that guy out of the game. You have to throw it around to everybody.
The goal is balance, right? It's production, putting points on the board, moving the ball, but balance. And the Bills have been out of whack for a little while now, really, the last couple of years. It was funny, Sean McDermott yesterday, Manny, thanks for listening, tuning in yesterday and your comments on that. But when I asked him about getting the running game better, he immediately started talking about getting the entire offense better. And there was a kind of a cryptic comment in there. You probably picked up on it when he said, you know, we've led the league in rushing the last 2 years, but there's some consequences to that also. And I thought overnight, I mean, I think about this stuff. I thought, I wonder what he's thinking. He's thinking that we were out of balance. We were too easy to defend the last couple of years. The Bills only had 7 wins a year ago and 8 the year before. So obviously something's got to change. I think he's going for balance.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to, when I say, hey, Sean, what are you going to do about the running game? He says, what am I going to do about the run game and the pass game?
Right.
And I don't think, like you said, you can't be one-handed. You have to involve wide receivers. We had the stat last week, and it didn't get any better last week. Fewest targets to wide receivers in the NFL.
Right.
Didn't get much better last week.
Didn't get much better.
And they've got to find a way. They've got to find a way.
Fighting with one arm behind your back, you know. And it's like, you know, if you're in a fight and you only got one arm, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and right now they're playing with one arm behind their back. And now you're missing your true number one tight end, so you're playing with – no arms.
Well, they got some time to put this together. We've got a little time off, too. No show tomorrow. No show Friday. We're back Monday at noon to do more radio / TV. Going to be good. Have a great couple of days, Donald. We'll see you here Monday. You'll miss me, I know.
I will.
But we'll
about
be all
to
right.
cry.
We'll be all right. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. Have a great bye weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday at noon with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.